tonight. Patty kicks things off by checking in with the latest Illinois farm news with Trisha Braid. Caroling Party stops by for a holiday edition of Music Mondays, and we share the latest news with the North Dakota oil pipeline protests right here on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, man, it is it's winter. That's what we've decided. We decided it's wintertime. I am excited to welcome in studio our guest, Trisha Braid, from the Illinois Corn Marketing Board, and Justin Durden of Durden Farms. Esmeralda, I have forgotten, I brought my corn with me many times and forgot to give it to you, but tonight I'm definitely giving you Esmeralda, which Justin had set aside, made sure that Esmeralda was growing very well. As you know, I was filming 360 videos for the Illinois Corn Marketing Board, and Trisha, I want to thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of that. It was a lot of fun.
Well, Patty, it was a lot of fun for us, too. I mean, we didn't really know what to expect because we didn't know you, but now we know you well. And Esmeralda, we also know.
Yes. Yeah.
So, in corn form.
Yeah, definitely corn form. Who knew?
And Justin, you said that she was one of the tallest stalks.
It was the tallest out of like five in a row the whole season.
I come from Hardy Stock.
Exactly. And tell us a little bit about the 360 video, what people can expect when this launches, because I know that some people can take a look at it, but this is kind of a part of a bigger process.
Right. So as I think your listeners know, you joined us four times this year to follow Esmeralda and all of her corn brothers and sisters throughout the growing season on Justin Durden's farm, along with his family and all the help that they have. But what this really is a look at how corn is grown and the family that grows it from any angle you want. So really just a literal interpretation of removing whatever curtain you might have thought might be involved in agricultural production. We just took it all away. You can mm-hmm. see whatever you want. So if you've ever seen one of these 360 videos, you get to determine what you want to look at. Just any direction you want to look. You want to look at the ground? You can. You want to look at the sky? You can. It's fun.
You're right. You just take with a touch screen, you just kind of move around. Exactly. You can look at my wellies. I was wearing rubber boots the entire time in the fields. And also, I think one of the great things that when you mentioned pull the curtain back, is I was impressed with how much technology. I mean, I think that a lot of us in Chicago, and we talked about this too, Trisha, on the farm, a lot of us are kind of familiar with farming, maybe in movies, but also by going to the Museum of Science and Industry, and a lot has changed since that tractor was put in there, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just part of the first technology that we put on the farm was GPS. So just to make a tractor drive in a straight line, and now it's, you know, 10 meter by 10 meter grids where varying our fertilizer and chemicals all across.
And it gives you a chance to be very precise about the way you farm now compared to how it used to be.
Absolutely.
It was it was a lot of fun. Have you spent much time on the farm, Paul?
I've seen shows about the farm growing up. I saw it's a show about Green Acres. It's a show where this woman married a gentleman who was on a farm, but she was not familiar with farms. It's a really enjoyable program. I don't know. Have you guys seen it?
A few people may have heard of that one.
Yeah, I've seen that. And then,
well, you know, I know that you you use a lot of the dating apps. You know that there's a farmers only
app. Yeah.
Farmers app. Trisha does not want to know about that.
I'm so embarrassed every time that ad comes on.
Oh, why? I mean, farmers need love.
Well, indeed, sure. You know, yes. They do for reals, but the ad not for
no,
reals.
No, you don't like that. No. Oh, you would like to have that ad redone to be a little more honorable toward farmers.
And
farming?
I don't know why we need a farmersonly.com. I mean, I don't. Justin doesn't.
I do, because I think that some people aren't cut out for it, you know, or maybe some people, right, you don't want to attract the wrong types either, though, because if they're like just...
Well, maybe they just, they're not ready for the city life, you know, like
that's what it says.
There was a cartoon about the Tom and Jerry where there was a city cousin and mm-hmm. then country life is too much for you. You guys don't remember this?
That's a little bit of what it was like for me
country
to go down.
Mouse, city mouse.
I'm the city mouse, and I went down and hung out with the country mice. That sounds all very strange, but now we're all cartoons.
Just don't think of us like the ad makes us look.
No, I don't think of you that way. I haven't seen the ad. I just know that there's an app.
You never would have come down had you seen the ad.
Oh, really? No. I don't let that. Now that I've been... now, tell us where the farm is. Justin, your farm is down in Streeter, Illinois?
Yeah, it's about 100 miles southwest of here.
And when we went down there, we started with the planting season. So that was you were dropping the seeds. About when do you start?
Mid-April, so right around when the ground reaches about 50 degrees temperature.
And we were out there, and by the way, how early do you start working? Because it was like just breaking daylight.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, everybody.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I know, of course.
We felt bad the last time when you had to sleep in your car.
The things that you have to do to get a shot done, because I was finishing up my show and it really didn't seem like it didn't make sense to get a hotel room for 2 hours if we were shooting from driving here.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
To the farm.
I've done that, but that was like
we're comics. The thing is, as comics, we sleep in cars. It's just what it's what we do. And I wanted to make sure I was there. I knew that if I was sleeping in the lot, there was no chance I would oversleep. I'd hear all the trucks coming in. And you do. The trucks were there. This was the last shot we did was for harvest. And there were, I mean, the semis were starting to line up. They were there. I mean, they were there when I got there at 4 a.m. They were getting ready to work.
Yeah, so we, you know, in the fall, we start about 4:30.
Yeah.
And
tell them to keep it down next time, will you?
I will. I'll tell them to look for parked cars with the engine running.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was.
Engine running?
It was cold.
You're fancy. See, that you're not ready for the farm life.
No, but it's a hybrid, so I wasn't burning that much gas.
Okay.
So we started with the planting. Then the next step was the side dressing, which we came in and you made sure you spray all of the crops to make sure was that what we do in the side dressing? Trisha's like, you didn't remember anything. That was with the planes.
I just remember your joke, you know, dressing on the side.
Dressing on the side.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's part of that process is to make sure that the corn continues to grow in a healthy manner.
Yeah. That's when we know kind of what we have for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we apply nutrients at that time just so we put enough on for what we need.
So it gets a good meal, you know, it's like a protein shake for the corn plants, but it's actually nitrogen. So, you know, if you have any fertilizer you put on your house plants or in your garden, it's the same nutrients that whatever your house plants need or your garden plants, it's the same stuff that we use out in the fields, just, you know, bigger coverage, more plants.
Yeah. So. And again, a lot of precision, a lot of computer technology used to make sure that you are accurate with everything. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the season, because I know that when I was shooting the Facebook Live video, people were like, that looks really tall. And as far as I've heard, it sounds like you guys had a record-breaking season. So let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back and find out how people can learn more about the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you for listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Paul Farvar, comedian. And, well, you don't like being called Esquire anymore.
No, you can say Esquire.
Lawyer.
Paul Farvar, Esquire. Comedian is probably the best way.
Is that the most accurate way?
Yeah, or attorney at law.
Have you? Now
comedian at law.
We were talking a little bit about whether or not you've been on the farm, because I spent really a great time at Durden Farms with Justin Durden and Trisha Braid, who's with the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. And we shot these 360 videos. And by the way, this is something I think a lot more people are going to be interested in filming and in watching. They're just so much fun.
Right. The technology is super cool. So if you haven't heard of it, you need to go check it out, please. The easiest way to find it is go to watchusgrow.org/corn. And it's a really cool little microsite right there. We can learn all about cool things about corn, but including accessing these 4 360-degree videos. So even if you don't think you care about corn, you will, because Patty's going to tell you all about it. She'll ask all the stupid questions.
I ask all the questions. I'm not going to tell you about it. Justin tells us all about it, and so does the video.
Right. And so then you can take a look and enjoy. Over 100,000 people have watched them so far, so we're pretty proud of that. And we're going to roll out kind of, you know, a media blitz in our world. Not quite the same as a media blitz in your world, but we're going to roll those out this week and next and see if we can get some more people to take a look at it and have some fun along with us.
And what do you hope to accomplish? I mean, because I think the more people know, that's my take on it, the more people know, the more they kind of make a connection, whether they're buying gas or eating corn or, you know, the way you cook.
Right. So corn is an important part of the Illinois economy. You may just think of it when you drive down the road if you're going to grandmother's house for Christmas or something, and if you happen to go out in the countryside, or maybe you think about corn during the summer and you're having a picnic, although sweet corn, as you learned, isn't the same as the type of corn we're talking about. But really, I guess most people don't think about it, and that's pretty cool that you don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. But here in Chicago, one thing corn does for you is it helps clean your air. So because of the ethanol in your gasoline here in the city, over the years, you may not even know this, but you're in EPA non-attainment status for your air quality. I mean, I'm sure you're aware of the air quality issues in Chicago, but ethanol is one of the things that's really cleaning that up for you, and that's healthier for all of us. It can bring down asthma rates for kids. So that's one thing that corn farmers are doing is helping you know, our fuel will be better for all of us.
Right. And Justin, you are a second generation farmer or
fourth?
Fourth generation. Wow. I never even asked that in the video. I think I know that I've met your family and your dad's a farmer. And you've been doing this for how long? I mean, I know that obviously since a kid you were helping out.
Yeah. So financially involved for about 15 years.
And you've really it's fun to watch you.
Sorry, that just means he gets a paycheck because he's been doing it his whole life.
Right. Well, did you?
Well, if I had risk for 15 years, how about that?
Yeah, at risk?
At risk.
Oh, there. Yeah. Okay. You had skin in the game for 15 years.
Well, when you mentioned at risk for the last 15 years, how did this year compare to other years of at risk?
Well, you know, from a crop standpoint, we had a record year. We broke our, you know, bushel per acre average by 6. So best on farm average ever.
Ever. And how'd that feel? I mean, like, is this kind of one of those things we go, okay, because you kind of knew you were on track for that and barring any sort of, you know, catastrophic weather event or something else, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so it was a plan that worked. So
yeah.
It was good.
I love that, a plan that worked.
Unfortunately, you don't have a plan for the market, so I know you all get the ag commodity reports here.
Orion lets us know about all that.
And maybe so. Maybe you've noticed that corn prices are down. And that's a function of supply and demand, among other things in the world. So, you know, when corn prices are down below what it actually costs to grow that bushel of corn, then when you have more bushels, even though they're less, you know, worth less, it helps to have more rather than less.
So it was helpful to have more corn this year because with the corn prices being down, at least you're still selling more than you have in previous years.
Exactly.
Vicious circle, though, because when all of you have more, then it drives prices down. You know,
it's what's really
math stuff.
Do you drive by other farms and go, I mean, I don't wish ill on anybody.
Well, you know, like Southern Illinois, they had, you know, below average yields, so they suffered from low prices and low yields.
Yeah, yeah, because I was really impressed again with the equipment. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, again, drive by. You know, we are on the highways and so much of the Midwest, you just see corn. We, you know, comics make jokes about it all the time, but there is so much that goes into it. How would you compare this? Obviously, this was a great season, but have you had seasons where you're just like biting your knuckles, just going, this is going to be rough? It just kind of.
Yeah, 2012 was one of those years.
What was involved? Was it the weather?
Yeah. Actually, the worst drought since 1988 for our area.
And so now,
the whole Midwest. Actually.
The whole Midwest. Yeah. So looking ahead now, do you guys already have kind of a feel as to what it's going to look like? What do you use to measure what the winter's going to look like and planning ahead for planting next year?
Yeah, so historically, our droughts move from the southeast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Georgia, the drought that they're suffering right now has the potential to move into our area.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going into the winter, we had really good rainfall and everything looks positive.
Because it's been a very mild winter. Is that helpful? Because it's been nice.
It has been nice.
I know. I don't know if that means good things for farmers or not, because it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, we're good so far, as long as we get a good deep freeze at some point.
Well, why do you need the ground to freeze? That sounds kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Why would you want a deep freeze?
Well, I mean, it cuts back on your insect pressure.
So the insects can sort of continue to fester if it doesn't. They don't get killed off.
Exactly.
Oh, see, Paul, are you learning?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, now you know.
Yeah, if I ever go on Farmers Only, I'll now be able to like pass, right? Because I can be like, oh, the deep freeze is coming on.
Yeah,
thank God.
Hope it's a good deep freeze. Yeah, see, take notes. Are you taking your notes?
It's up here. It's up in my head.
Right.
I just, for those that didn't see what I just did, I pointed to my head.
Yes, very good. Well, we are on live stream. I know that you have friends that are listening right now that are razzing you by texting. They can watch you as well. Are they aware of that?
Probably not.
Now they do.
Yeah.
And they can rewind. And
it is late. Remember, be nice to us.
Oh.
But yeah, so someone already said, you should have talked about Field of Dreams. That's the movie.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Oh, Field of Dreams. Because he steps out of the corn. Yeah. Shoeless Joe Jackson steps out of the corn and materializes.
Yeah.
Kind of a fantastic movie.
I had never seen it.
Whereas
we were
hiding in the corn while you guys were videotaping so that we weren't visible on the 360 taping.
Well, that's the trick of 360 video because it's panoramic. It's not just panoramic. I mean, it's all encompassing, up, down, left, and right. So you have to kind of be inconspicuous while we're filming. And that really is wonderful. And people can also use the virtual reality viewers, too.
Right. So if you have one of those Google cardboard things that folds up, you can drop your phone into it. It's an old school, like a ViewMaster for those of us that are old enough to remember those, except now it's cooler. So you can put it in there and look like a dork when everyone else is watching. Now I'm looking all around the room because you can see that on the live stream.
Exactly.
Hello. Yeah. So But it's pretty neat to do. Or you can just use your device and still look silly, you know, tipping your phone or your iPad or whatever device you have.
Yeah, it's a really wonderful video to. Well, it was fun to shoot. So I know I've only watched a little bit of the first one because
really?
It's hard to watch myself on camera. And, you know, I started thinking, why did I wear that? And it was all I did. I had to go shopping like the night before.
Doesn't match the corn.
Exactly. I was so,
yellow
yeah.
on yellow and green.
I had a gardener tell me one time, oh, honey, everything goes with green.
That's true. Yeah. Everything goes with green. Well, and it was really just we were very lucky with weather, too. I have to say, I know that we had to make some adjustments a couple times. So we did the side dressing I'm trying to remember May, right?
Yep.
And then I came back out for the crop dusting.
Yes.
Which that was one where we did have to reschedule. Why are you laughing? Am I not?
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for it.
The crop dusting?
Yes.
The fart. Are we making farting jokes? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I was waiting for. Oh.
I'm
sorry.
A clean comic.
See, that's me. I just didn't make any on the set when we were shooting the video.
But I just learned what crop dusting was like 2 years ago. So
what?
You mean the airplane crop dusting?
Right. No, I'm talking about the fart thing.
Oh. Okay. So.
That's what she was laughing at. I'm not even the one that did anything.
So anyhow,
but
you were laughing for the record.
As we mentioned earlier, with the side dressing and treating the plants and the corn, you also have to do some crop dusting to make sure that they continue to grow healthy. People are often concerned about what is sprayed. What do you spray?
Well, this year we just applied fungicide, so that takes away your diseases on the mm-hmm. on the leaves.
And it was that was again when we had to reschedule, and then for the harvest, and it was the corn was massive. Is it usually that tall?
It was a little taller than average. But.
Yeah, no, it seemed remarkable.
But it can get even taller than that,
really?
Depending on the year.
And I mean, that doesn't necessarily equal yield either.
Right.
So
it just means the rate of growth.
Right.
And I was surprised, by the way. I think you know, I did not. Did you know how many ears of corn do you think is on a stalk of corn?
Paul. One, I thought.
Yes, I didn't know that. I did not. I don't know, Esmeralda. Did you know there's only one per stalk? Sometimes two on a rare occasion.
So it's just a bunch of
yeah.
leaves?
Every stalk, yes.
And then the one?
Yes.
So every leaf, think of it as a big solar collector. It's like solar panels. So the leaf's job is to bring in all of that energy from the sun, and it moves it down in and deposits all that wonderful energy into those golden kernels that we harvest. And so it's just a way to take energy that we can't utilize and deposits it right into that corner,
yeah.
and we are using it in our gas tanks, or we're using it in that Mountain Dew that's keeping us awake tonight, mm-hmm. or we're using it
Diet
as cattle
Mountain
feed.
Dew.
Oh, so there's none in there. So,
oh, really? There's oh, because
oh, really?
Of the corn
I
syrup.
Take the sugar out.
Oh,
you know, that's the part that's
know.
Diet.
Yeah, why did you ruin it? You ruined the whole thing. She was on. She had a whole thing. She was on a roll.
She made an assumption that I was going to make a crop dusting joke, so we're even. But no, I went to University of Illinois, and we had
corn
everywhere.
Corn there.
Yeah, the South Farms were the corn.
Not just that, there's a dedicated historical plot of corn that they decided to build the undergraduate library underground
yes.
in order to avoid casting a shadow on that plot.
That's true. That was it was a place people knew all about it. You could try to make out there. It's like I'm happy days.
I didn't realize that was. Were you making out in the corn?
No, I never did. I didn't make out in the corn.
It
high
just seems wrong. No.
But no, that's people would try to do that kind of stuff, nonsense. Those kids crop dusting and stuff. But,
are there? And Tricia, you let me do. Let's do another segment when we come back because we still have to do the news and we'll come back because I want to ask because I think that there's I think people don't think about. Exploring the field of agriculture, you know.
Oh, great! Yeah, let's
talk about that. We have a do we have a break before the news? We take a quick break. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and we are in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar. We have Justin Durden of Durden Farms and Tricia Braid of the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. We've been talking about the 360 videos that we've shot this year, where you can go to the website again.
WatchUsGrow.org/corn.
And you can see the entire season of from planting to the side dressing to the crop dusting and the harvesting. And we now, Justin, I know what kind of corn you have on your farm. Sue wants to know the difference between your corn and other corn. Hey, Sue, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you. Good evening to everyone.
Hey.
And I just, you know, I have a lot of curiosity about things in life, and I will definitely look this up. And I've had people in my family that have been farmers. And as I was saying to the producer, I guess my question is, I have had a longtime friend of mine that had a had through her family 72 acres of corn grown for cows, the feed corn, 72 acres in Kankakee, Illinois. And one time I was down there and they were having a little party and whatnot. And of course, almost everyone there were corn farmers. And I was trying to make conversation from Oak Park.
Uh-huh.
And I said something about, beef was raised, wheat fed, grass fed beef. And that didn't go over too well.
Oh, no.
And I thought, oh, gosh, I said the wrong thing. And so I guess my question was, that was the wrong thing to say. That
were you looking for the difference?
The whole,
right.
Yeah, I guess the difference between that. Thank you.
Hey, no, thanks, Sue, for teeing up that great question, because, we a lot of times assume things that other people might understand. So fundamentally, there is no difference between field corn and sweet corn, except that, as the name implies, in sweet corn, it is sweeter. So the type of corn we eat as corn on the cob, or the corn kernels you get in a can or in a bag that are frozen, or out to eat on the mm-hmm. dinner plate, that's what I call veggie corn. So we treat it like a vegetable, and you harvest it or pull it off the plant when it's still young. Now, what field corn is the same plant, but it's not as sugary, and it has a different, it's a stronger plant. It lasts longer because we're harvesting it as a grain at the end of the life cycle. So that plant has matured. It's gone through its entire life cycle, and that grain then could be a seed, whereas you can't plant that soft corn kernel on a sweet corn ear. But if you were to leave that sweet corn out in the field, it would do the same thing. It would go through its entire life cycle, and it would dry out, and it would be similar, although not the same, to the field corn we're talking about. So basically, we've used genetics to breed sweet corn to be tasty to eat in its immature state. Field corn is grain then that we can use to grind up for corn flour, for snack food, for example.
Oh, cornbread's my favorite.
In the case of your friend's 72 acres, then they're feeding it to cattle. P.S., those cattle did spend a lot of their life on grass. They only spend the last couple, 3 months on corn. But anyhow, so that's the major difference. One is veggie corn, as I call it, and the other one is cow corn, car corn, and cola corn.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you very much. And like I said, I certainly didn't mean to insult the people there.
No, that's on them, not on you. That's what
right.
I think, Sue.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Have a great night. And I, we were talking about Justin's farm, and he's a fourth generation farmer. Are there career opportunities that people maybe aren't familiar with or aware of in agriculture?
Well, there is a ton of them. So if you're like Justin, and Justin, you didn't come back to the farm right away, right? Did you work off the
farm?
Did
you try running away from the farm, Justin?
I tried, but I got drugged back. No, joking.
Drugged back or drug? Those are two different.
He was not drugged and then made to come back.
That's
he
okay.
Was,
that's yeah. better because
they dragged him back. Yes.
Drug back. Okay. Yeah. That's different.
But no, I worked in transportation, so I owned a trucking company, and we still do on a smaller scale, but mm-hmm. that's kind of, so our farm wasn't large enough to support, two households at that time. So I had kind of off a farm job for a while, and then we expanded, and then I was able to work on
it. So now are you in business with your dad, or is it your farm and your dad's?
No, we're in business together.
Together, okay.
We're partners.
Yeah, so that's the same for a lot of, quote, farm kids. The farm may not be big enough. That's what happened in my family. So my brother and I, we have jobs in agriculture. So what my brother does is build big grain bins and rail loading facilities. And then I work for farmers as a communications person. But there are so many jobs in agriculture. And the cool thing about it is it's not just about growing corn. You can be a computer science major. You can be a biologist, you can be a plant breeder, you can be an engineer and you're building the equipment, you can be an attorney that specializes in farm law.
Yes.
Kind of like,
do you want to do farm law?
Is there a need right now? Because it's pretty slow right now in my office.
Chicago. Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Well, certainly there's a need in estate planning. There's a huge need because there's a lot of assets that go along with being a farmer. You know, you don't have a lot of cash money. but you have a lot of assets. So farm managers, the people that go out and help make those business decisions, the people like Orion that read the markets, the people that are running the markets that Orion's reading, you know, so there's a ton of jobs out there. And Justin, you mentioned that you'd heard a statistic about placement.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Out of ag colleges, 99% placement.
99% placement. Yeah. And as far as labor, too, I'm guessing that there's also demand. It depends on where because it's not where people generally are. I mean, we think of, you know, the urban areas as being where, you know, there's a huge population. Is there demand for labor in, throughout the country, do you know, for more farm workers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not
obviously it's seasonal too,
yeah,
which is hard for people
too.
To have it as a career.
It's less in corn and soybeans, like the kind of farmer that Justin
is.
Right.
So we're so mechanized that we can do a lot with very few people.
Right.
I mean, you start talking about specialty crops like strawberries or something grown out in California that needs that hands-on labor. Yeah, that's a huge problem.
Because as you noticed, Justin doesn't even have to be hands-on to drive his tractor.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, "Look, Ma, no hands." Pretty much computer controlled.
Yeah,
yeah. It measures it times out the path when he has to turn. I mean, you did some driving.
Robots are taking over the world, is what you're saying.
Yes, pretty much.
Huh. Well,
but you never let me drive. You kept promising I would drive the tractor.
You could have pretended you were driving as much as he was.
Yeah.
That's true. Paul.
I have a question, and I want to know this. And are there like cliques of the like the different types of farmers, like the corn farmers all have like their own club, and then the other farmers that have chickens and stuff, you're like, oh, those guys. Like, do you guys fight or like not like do you guys like badmouth each
other?
Are
they rumbles? What are they?
No, like, you know, like cyberbullying on Facebook where you like have inside jokes, like two chicken farmers walk into a, a bar. Is there stuff like that or no?
No, I don't
see. If you say that means that they're making fun of you then.
Oh no.
But we do have individual commodities. I mean, you know, yes and no to your question.
Friendly rivalries.
Friendly. Okay, so let's just say, let's forget that. I mean, you guys don't partake in it, but is there word on the street they're like, oh, the chicken farmers, everyone knows those guys are shady.
They're angry birds.
Oh, there you go. See? Is that what you call them?
The angry birds.
What's like the one that, see, you guys have a secret. You're not telling us. Like, I think people want to know about the different cliques and gangs in the farms. I think it's a fair question.
Well, maybe by state.
Okay.
So we're always.
Oh, yeah. The Iowa farmers? Yeah. I'm kidding, Iowa. We love Iowa.
They're all that.
Do they?
We got the rivers, though. I mean,
see? Well, they beat us at football. So.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Illinois is really bad this year. University of Illinois.
Yeah. When have we had a good season? Why?
They were good when I was there in the 60s.
There you go. Well, what is there one thing you want people to know before we go that maybe they weren't familiar with? Or is there one thing you want them to know about corn farming in Illinois?
Well, I just want people to know, if they care, that, you know, we're proud of what we do on the farms and that you all can be proud of us, too. And that we hope you'll take a look at the videos at watchusgrow.org/corn and just take a peek behind a curtain if you thought one was there. You know, we never hung one up, but, you know, there was an idea that we were
not
sharing. Right. So take a look and hopefully you're proud of us. We try to do better every day and certainly every season.
Here's what it does, too, is that, you know, again, I mentioned when people are on the highways and they're just driving by corn, you see all that equipment out there. This really, you know, next time you drive by, you'll be like, oh, they must be doing side dressing, or, hey, there's those planes doing the crop dusting. They're spraying fungicide. And I mean, it really does. It just brings it all into place for everybody. It makes your world a bigger place.
Right. It's a system. And we've been growing corn in here in Illinois, you know, for a long time, and we hopefully can continue to grow it for many years more.
Well, we look forward to having you guys back, and thank you so much. Justin, did you want to share anything before you go? You can even say Merry Christmas to the family if you want.
Okay.
It was really a pleasure working with you. Did you want to say something else, Paul?
No. He didn't even say it. He said, okay.
He's okay. Say it for me, Patty. It was really a pleasure to work with you, and I'm so glad to have gotten to know you guys. So, again, thank you so much for having me down on the farm.
Come back anytime. You can bring the attorney out. Just give us a heads up.
Well, he has to bring his own car because we have to sleep in separate cars.
Oh, yeah, that would be creepy.
Actually, there's a cool little motel not far from there that I stayed at in Streeter. There's a, like, did you know that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a little tiny, I think it's in Streeter, but it's a little motel. It was a nice little place. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
What?
I've driven past a couple times.
Right. Luckily, he's never had to stay there.
That's for the chicken farmers.
That guy let me in. I showed up at like 4 in the morning, and that guy had to drag his butt out of bed and set me up with a room. So I was very grateful to have some place to sleep that night.
That's a nice guy. Shout out to Randy at the motel.
Yeah, exactly. Side of the road. More after this. Again, we've been hanging out with Trisha Braid of the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. Go to watchusgrow.org/corn. And Justin, you go to Justin Durden. And also follow her on Twitter. What's the?
Ag Chick. I'm Ag Chick.
Follow her on Ag Chick. Justin, you want us to follow you at Justin at Durden Farms. Isn't that the Instagram?
On Twitter, it's at Justin Durden. Oh, yeah, I'm not very active, though.
Well, then now I've put a little pressure on you by putting it out there on the radio. Next time you come back, you better have a little more. We'll be right back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar in the broadcast and the producer's booth, by the way. We have Bennett Wicknight. Hey, Bennett, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for – you're going to be here for the week.
I am here for the week.
I'm off on Friday. Yeah, no, we cannot get rid of you. And Esmeralda up in the traffic. And Rob Martier taking care of news. First, I wanted to now Bennett was if I can ask, I asked him about this before the show. He was the victim of a mugging. It's hard for me to say mugging. I know this is a while ago on the Wilson L stop over by there on the Red Line, and you're a tall dude too.
I am right 6'4". 6'5", 184, 185.
Right. So
like a presence, I think.
And I always feel like I'm vulnerable. I shouldn't be out by myself. Do you, I was asking how you have felt afterwards, and I know that you could you've tried to get back into a normal rhythm, which I think is really smart. But do you also think, you know, if I'm not safe, like how weird is that?
Yeah. I mean, I think about it all the time, and because I've lived in the city for going on 6 years now, and this is really the only time that I've ever had an experience like this. And I say, you know what? I'm not the victim that people, you know, are saying and reporting in the news, you know, somebody drunk walking home or so. I was on my way to work and I was just minding my own commuting morning business.
Sure.
And it was just one of those freak situations, though, where me versus three guys, it was not an ideal situation. I say, yep, this is going to happen.
And you were paying attention and you weren't like on the phone or anything either? Like,
no, I was just,
wow.
It was just that they made their decision when they walked by. It was kind of, I was kind of eerie. I was like,
this doesn't feel right. Oh, did your spidey senses go up?
A little bit. Well, three guys walking by, there aren't any bars around the area. So I said, okay, you know, I'll keep an eye on them. One of them stood over by the stairs and two of them came back and I was kind of looking down, and they came closer. They were inching their way, and I was like, oh, this is going to happen. I just got to loosen up my hands and whatever happens, and hope it goes over quick.
And were they beating on you?
They did. They hit me once, twice in the head, and then I hit the ground, and then in the back of the head two more times. And
jeez. I want to hug him.
The craziest thing is that they only wanted my phone.
Right.
They didn't ask for my wallet. They didn't ask for my messenger bag that had stuff in it. They only wanted my phone. All that trouble just for a phone.
Wow.
It's wild.
See, and it's a thing that you just think isn't going to happen to you. Like you said, you know, I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
I know. And there's not, it's kind of like one of those, you know, but by the grace of God, you know, when you are just trying to get through your day. It's like, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm glad that you're okay. And I don't want to scare people who come to Chicago. I realize now what a horrible calling card for Chicago. But
it's scary.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, I've only had a couple friends. I've lived here my entire life. And again, luckily, never found myself in a dangerous situation one-on-one like Bennett did. And Bennett, where did you – you said you went to Loyola?
I went to college at Loyola University of Chicago.
And what did you study?
Communications.
Oh, there you go. This worked out very well for you.
Yeah, with a minor in Spanish and International Studies.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that was in 4 years?
In 4 years.
See,
anomaly.
My son was asking. My son is 13 years old, and his social studies teacher is having them go through the paces of how much it would cost for them to go to college.
Oh, boy.
What do they want to study? What kind of salary would they have afterwards? Did you do any of that when you looked at communications and Spanish minor and
international? No, it was really kind of a path that I had set out for myself, and I said, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm going to make the best out of it, however financially set I am or not. But I said, this is how I'm going
to
do it.
And now you know you can go to agriculture if
all else fails.
You know what's funny, I didn't mention it when they were here, but I got into the university through the College of Agriculture because it was easier to get into.
Really?
And then you could switch into the liberal arts program. And back then, I hope no one from the colleges, well, they can't kick me
Fine
out of school
you.
Now. But you had to write an essay to say why agriculture interests you. And I had to like make up stuff like, I love agriculture. And you had to do it to get in. And then after that, you could transfer to liberal arts and get a speech communication.
I don't know if I'm impressed or disappointed. You're listening pretty late. And you know what? There was a little bit of snow this weekend, Paul. I'm kind of in the mood for some music about it, aren't you?
Yeah.
You weren't ready for the snow, were you?
I wasn't ready for the snow, but I'll listen to the music about it.
Well, you know why you weren't ready? Because you didn't hear the caroling party sing Winter Wonderland. Here they are.
Bum, 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 bum.
Over the ground lies a mantle of white. A heaven of diamonds shuts down through the night. Two hearts are thrilling in spite of the chill in the weather. The weather. Love has no season, love has no clime. A romance can blossom any old time. Here in the open, we're walking and hoping together, together. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. Ooh.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown.
He'll say, "Are you Mary?" We'll say, "No, man." But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we've made. Walking in a winter wonderland. Ooh.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he's a circus clown.
We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kiddies knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chillin', we'll frolic and play the Eskimo way. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland.
So good. Oh my, I felt like I was in the middle of a 1940s movie.
Yeah. I felt like I was being serenaded to be honest.
Well, you were. It was mostly for you, Paul.
I
didn't mean to surprise you. Come on, sit down. We're going to take a break in a few minutes for the emergency alert system. And Bob Ferguson, who, as always, really makes our Music Monday better than it possibly could be. You can grab seats. We have enough seats. I think we do. Have a seat. I have to get everyone's names again because you told me your names. I know. I only remember Patty. Is that wrong? And we also have Brandon. Microphone.
Excuse me.
Also, no, you're fine.
All right.
Well, you don't want to sit down?
Oh, is it all the way over there?
Yeah.
Come on.
I have to. It's like you're singing again. That was on Facebook Live. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll be able to see the video of the caroling party. Now, tell us a little bit about. Hold on. Let me grab your name over here with the suspenders, and you were not told not to.
John.
That's John.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't.
He always dresses like that.
And there's nothing wrong with suspenders. Is that what you're feeling? What are you feeling self-conscious about, John?
There's a little rust stain. That's otherwise I feel good about the suspenders.
Rust stain.
I didn't notice the rust stain. Why?
Oh, I mean, there's no rust stain.
No. There's no. These are not the droids you're looking for. What's happening in my studio?
Yes, exactly.
Pay no attention to the rust stains. If you're watching on WGNRadio.com on our live stream, do not pay any attention.
Now I see them.
I ruined it.
Is the rust stain from the buckles or the little clamps that slide up and down?
Yeah, they're from the
Just a little bit of
sheer effort, I think.
I think so. Right, it's from all the perspiration of performing.
No, don't say that.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not bad. You're right. That's not a bad. I apologize. No, it gives them character. It means you've been places.
Exactly. Yeah,
yes, right. I agree. And I let me grab your. May I have your name?
Like, my name is Tina.
Hey, Tina. Good to see you again. That was really beautiful singing.
Thank you.
Now, are you the caroling party? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you don't do caroling all year long. So, do you perform together in other venues, other times of the year?
Well, the very cool things about the caroling party is that everyone in the group is a professional singer, but also, of course, we do other things to make a living. Mm-hmm. So, Brandon, for instance, was here yesterday.
Yeah, I was here on Dean's show. We did some excerpts of the show that I'm doing right now. I'm doing a production of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes, we heard you yesterday, which was really wonderful.
Yeah, so that's what I do.
At the American Blues Theater?
Correct, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
and
great.
I get to sing with these guys in December, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you are busy for the holiday season.
I'm a busy guy.
Are you like Santa Claus? You only get to work during the winter season?
I try to work the rest of the year.
Brandon works all year.
It's hard being talented and good looking and all that.
Yeah, I do.
And tall, mostly tall.
I'll tell you, I'm living on Mucinex and cough drops right now.
poor guy. Yeah, sick. Hey, you were here early. Are you did to get early in the morning too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we won't keep you. We're
gonna,
all right, we'll do some more music. Okay. And Tina, now where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Michigan, actually.
All right.
Yeah, the snow belt.
we're right.
Thanksgiving up there.
We're right in the middle of the snow belt. We're right there with you.
And I've been here about 15 years. And
what brought you to Chicago?
Actually a show. Myself, my son, my husband, we were all cast in a show that opened at the Royal George Theater in 2002.
Wait a minute. The whole family was cast in a show. Did you know the director?
We did not know the director. The show is pretty specific as far as what they were looking for as far as a child actor. And my son was actually cast in this role when he was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And in the whole process of negotiating us moving from Michigan to Chicago, we were all cast in the show.
What?
Yes.
What show was this?
It was called Comfortable Shoes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So and how exciting, though, to move from Michigan for your son's role. I mean, that's a big commitment from the family.
Oh, it was huge. Yeah, it was huge. The only person that was really upset was my daughter, who at the time was 10 and wanted to also be in the show.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Well, I would imagine.
You didn't mention her before, so that changes the dynamic.
Yeah, you didn't put that in part of the negotiations, I guess.
Yeah, well, she talked to the director, the producer, and the gentleman who the show was written about, and tried to convince them because, you know, he did have a younger sister, but he wasn't going to rewrite the show.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Oh, you just put her on stage. You're like, why doesn't she ever talk?
She was like she could have been the key grip or something. Right? Is that what she got?
Exactly.
She got all the other jobs on the side, or?
I mean, we all are still entertainers. My kids are now grown up, and they're in the business as well as
26, I'm guessing. 26 and
good job,
I know,
yes.
26 and 24.
Oh,
well, I was doing the math. I know, it was very exciting for me when I locked in.
Yeah.
I was told there'd be no math.
The charts are next after this. You can tell I'm actually very good at diagramming a sentence as well.
So you know, Patty, I am too. It's a Patty thing.
Okay, here's the thing. When they step, they don't teach it anymore.
Mm-hmm, they don't,
like, my favorite
thing
was a gerund, remember? Because it had the curve line underneath it. See? Even John.
My mother, the English teacher, is very excited about this right now.
Yes.
Diagramming a sentence.
Yeah. I did think that was fun.
Not only fun, but I think it was like I can visualize a sentence. And that's why Twitter and Facebook make me crazy.
Yep. Oh.
None of these people learn how to diagram
a
sentence.
You abbreviate stuff. And,
No. Patty and I go crazy when we read social media. <don't> we? I can't look at that stuff. We're going to learn more about our guests when we come back. And some more music from the caroling party. Are we going right up to the... We're going to go to the break because we have an EAS coming up. I just need to make sure I'm aware of when that happened. Yesterday was dicey for people who were driving. Esmeralda, are the roads icy tonight, or is everyone keeping their heads about themselves?
No, right now, tonight actually looks pretty good.
Good.
You know, other than construction causing delays, but roads look good.
Were you kind of glad you weren't working yesterday? Because I believe...
I was working yesterday.
Bennett was saying, were you working yesterday?
Night. I was working yesterday night. But yesterday night wasn't bad.
It wasn't.
Because, you know, everything started in the morning, in the afternoon. So by the time night got... I mean, the plow trucks and all that, they're quick.
Yeah. But they aren't playing around. What?
It was pretty bad at night. I had a show last night, and it was pretty bad going out there to Belvidere, Illinois.
Is it because you don't know how to drive?
I wasn't driving, so No, I think a lot of people were going really slow and slipping.
Everything okay, Tina?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was thinking about all the traffic yesterday.
It was bad. Yeah. You can talk.
I was on a job yesterday.
This conversation is you, too. It's not like also you're in the studio. Yeah. It was terrible traffic yesterday. Yeah. People were really hesitant in the snow.
Well, they were hesitant, but then there were lots of accidents, too. I was coming from Lake Forest, and just Lake Forest to Oak Park took 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Yeah, that's well, as you mentioned, you're from the Snow Belt in Michigan.
Yes. So I had it down.
Yeah, you had it down. Patty, where are you from originally?
I grew up in Chicago my whole life.
Come closer to your microphone.
My whole life. I've been in Chicago.
Whereabouts?
Well, I grew up in Deerfield.
Okay.
And then I went to college at Northwestern. And
you really couldn't. You're like me. I can't leave.
I just couldn't leave. Yeah, I spent 1 year in New York in college, and it was too much for me. So then I came back here, and I've been here ever since, my whole life.
When you say too much, because I've been in New York, and I just can't imagine living there. Is it because you just love Chicago so much more? Because that would be my reason.
I think I didn't know that I did because I was only 19 when I was there. But I think it was too overwhelming for me. I was too shy, and all the. Of the homeless people and all the so much. I think I felt too bad for everybody all the time.
Oh, wow.
I was always feeling like bad and sad because of everything that was around me.
It was intense.
I probably had a sheltered life or something. I wasn't prepared for it emotionally.
You should try Duluth first.
Well, if you can't come up in Duluth, you can't come up at all. So.
it's a different pace.
I landed back in Chicago and I loved it at Northwestern, and then I started working. I did theater for a long time, and then I have my own band. I play weddings and parties, and
in addition to
running the Caroling Party with my partner Paul Iams,
who
also has a group called Opera.
Hi, Paul.
So we do a lot. I mean, this is fun about this group because we all do different things during the year. Uh-huh. Some of us do theater. I have a band. Paul has a band. Some of us are in like
Rob Banks.
Oh wow!
Is that still
a thing? Do people see Rob Banks?
Yeah, there was a big armed robbery like down on the south, and there was a bank that was just robbed at Lincoln Square. I'm not sure
some
if we should run the
suspenders with rust.
With rust.
It was a man with suspenders with a rust stain.
Never wear the suspenders.
But who doesn't love Chicago though? You go to other cities, and then you come back here, and especially in the summertime. I got a Divvy Bike membership this summer. I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it. It was so much fun. Up and down the lakefront, all my gigs. I teach yoga, so I go to different yoga studios.
You are busy.
On my bike. And you really appreciate how beautiful the city is when you're on your bike.
Where do you teach yoga?
I teach at Yoga View and a place called Yoga 6. I teach at Bucktown Athletic Club. And
what are the benefits of the hot yoga? Do you do the hot yoga?
Well,
I just think I would get sleepy.
It's harder for me.
Sleepy. People like to sweat.
Yeah.
They gain a little
Brand's like,
more
yeah,
flexibility.
Those people.
No, I love hot yoga.
Do you love it? I love it too. I'm slightly addicted.
The hot yoga.
Oh, yeah.
So, well,
you actually feel like you're getting there's this conception that you're not getting a workout when you're doing yoga, when actually it's intensely difficult to do
absolutely.
Yoga. But then when you add heat to it, you actually feel the tangible effect of the class.
Yeah. All right. John, have you done in your suspenders? Have you done some hot yoga?
Negative.
No, and where are you from, John?
I was born in Elmhurst, so I am from the area as well. So.
And also not able to leave, like Patty. And me.
I left for a while. I lived in Minneapolis, and
Brandon's
from Hood. Fargo over here.
From Fargo.
And I went to school in Iowa, so yeah, I've been around the Midwest. My wife's from Milwaukee, so I know the Midwest, but. Chicago's my home.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not Fargo that's in Minnesota. It's the sister town, which is
Moorhead.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've played Moorhead. Yeah. There's actually the first time I ever saw a movie theater that had where you could sit down and eat. Like they would bring you food that was in Moorhead. Wow. I do stand-up comedy.
Cutting edge. That's...
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. Moorhead's. I played Courtney's in Moorhead, Minnesota. Okay. They clear out the bar and they have a dance floor where we can do stand-up comedy.
They nail everything down when
pretty much.
Starts.
Yeah, when the comics come into town.
You know, there's a phrase that if you ask a Minnesotan to say that will instantly expose them as Minnesotan. Can I share that with you?
Yes, please.
Right. Now, why in the earth would I spend $5 for a corn dog that's mostly dough? You can't ask a Minnesotan to say
dull.
That. without exposing them as a Minnesotan. I could try, but I would fail.
How do you go about asking someone that? Oh, you mean asking if they want a corn dog?
Yeah, no.
Would you like a corn dog? And if they say,
it's like the thing in a usual suspect. You, like you have to read the line, right. and then when they read it,
they're like, oh, yeah, you're from Minnesota. Busted. Busted.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never thought to out somebody as a Minnesotan. But now I kind of feel like
it's
doing
a cruel thing to do, but if you
I kind of feel like doing it all the time now.
You brought up Moorhead, so I had to go there.
I had a fun, I spent time, we'll see, let me try to think of where I worked, Red River, Minnesota, and like Blue Mound.
Blue Mound.
He knows more about your state than you do.
Well, I live there.
That's right, it was in Minneapolis.
How do you get around?
By the way, we can talk about this just for a second. The Mall of America, people lost their minds over the weekend about Mall of America hiring a Black Santa. And did you see?
No, I didn't know.
I didn't see that.
I saw George Takei's comment about it.
What did he say?
Oh, he said, yeah, in my internment camp, our Santa was Asian. So oh my gosh. Get over it.
He could shut that down right there. Yeah. Well, they had to shut down the comment section for the newspaper's website when they reported it because people were saying horror. Just, I can't even repeat
that. I can't see that in Minnesota. They're so nice there.
Yeah, that's the Minnesota nice. That's nice to your face.
Well,
and then they
nice to your face,
down.
Exactly.
What?
Is
that kind of like the Southern, you know, like, you know, bless his heart and then behind
closed doors. Oh, bless his heart. What a jerk.
Wow.
Sorry, Minnesota.
Sorry, people.
So frank
but,
here.
No, but it's not. I don't think it was just Minnesotans that were being rude on social media because those sites are available for people all over the world who happen to be filled with hate.
Exactly.
Other places. Patty,
they need more Christmas caroling in their life.
Yeah. I know. Well,
they need the caroling party.
The caroling party. How did this come? Joy. How did this come to be? The caroling party.
Well, I'll give you the short answer. My partner, business partner, and I, Paul Iams, used to sing in a group called the Christmas Spirit.
Hi, Paul.
A lot of professional singers, jingle singers, and so forth. And then Paul and I, and we always used to, we'd get together and rehearse and we would sound great. And then we would do parties for rich people and we wouldn't get paid. So that didn't seem like a very good idea. So we thought, well, if we're going to sing for free, let's sing for people. Like tonight, we sang at the Rehab Institute pro bono.
Oh, that's great.
For the patients that are there. And then if we're going to sing for rich people, let's get paid. So we put together the group and got jobs every year, more and more jobs. And we've been together almost 30 years. And this year we'll perform at about 150 places over the course of
So I'm guessing you're booked solid through the rest of the season.
We're booked very busy, but we still have room for more.
Okay.
So anybody can call.
How do we book you?
Website,
okay.
thecarolingparty.com. And Paul will respond to any email that you send. And we can provide carolers anytime, 24/7.
Wow.
Basically 24/7. We have one job at McNeil Hospital that's from 3:30 to 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
a.m. So we perform morning, noon, and night.
And my guess is depending on who's available, the size of the group of carolers that people can hire.
Well, we go out in quartets or octets. And we have about 60 singers in the group this year.
That's 8 octet.
Yes, octet.
Nice.
Yes.
Well done, Paul.
Because Patty knows grammar, so she would know octet. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But it goes into math a little bit, yeah.
We have 60 singers in the group, so we have a lot of availability. There'll be some nights where we have 10 or 11, even 12 groups out at the same time.
Wow.
And different country clubs and parties and events. And everybody blends and sings well together. So
I'll say.
Not necessarily to get this group, but you'd get excellent singers that all know the
music. That's one of the cool things about it is sometimes you don't know who you're going to be singing with. And it's kind of that little alchemy that night is really exciting.
It's the chemistry changes all the time.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
For rehearsals, do you do door-to-door caroling? That's how I would do it if I were you guys. I would.
You would,
Patty. Did anyone Christmas carol when you were kids and go door to door? Like Christmas caroling?
Yes. Yeah. Growing up in Michigan, of course.
Me, Chicago. I did it in Norwood Park.
You did?
Much to the chagrin of my neighbors. She's back.
We were just the church. That was like the church. That was where we always sang, but that's about it.
Just the church?
Yeah.
They didn't let you sing outside. Yeah, we used to go door to door. Me and my friend Sue. We would. That's why I know Winter Wonderland so well.
You want to join us on a number?
Absolutely not. No. Not even a little bit. That's the one thing. Does anyone teach vocal lessons? That might be. We can do that next segment.
I do.
Do you really? Yeah. I'm terrible.
You can't be terrible.
We can
you
teach
have that
anyone
voice.
To sing, Patty.
Yeah. I'm tone deaf.
I bet you are not.
The other thing is, I never know when to come in. You know, like when they. See. Oh, look at you, gasp.
Can we get you to sing with us?
Bless your soul. I really. No? More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late, and we are so happy to have the Caroling Party in studio with us. Paul, do you like to sing? Oh, you do. You're a musician.
Yeah, as you know, I play many instruments, and I was going to propose to them that maybe they be the first caroling band to have percussion djembe player. But, you know, we'll talk about that.
He wants to offer his djembe expertise.
Yeah, I think I feel like it'll be a good thing, but we could talk about that another time.
Do you have a favorite Christmas song, by any chance?
White Christmas.
Is that because you know it's coming up?
No.
Esmeralda, do you have a favorite song?
I guess Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland.
Because they sang it in chorus.
Is it Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? Is that the name of that song? Judy Garland movie, Meet Me in St. Louis. Yeah, that one makes me cry every single time. But my favorite is White Christmas. Here with White Christmas is the Caroling Party.
The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, LA.
But it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be up north. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write.
May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. I'm dreaming of a Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be
That's the Caroling Party with White Christmas. Actually, I know I have friends in Los Angeles that are watching us on Facebook Live where they do have the palm trees. Come on over and sit down. My dad was a big fan of Bing Crosby, so I saw that. And it's funny because Holiday Inn was the one. That's the version I like better for the White Christmas, but everyone else knows it from the movie with Danny. Well, and Danny Kaye. Yeah, how can you not love Danny Kaye as well? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, I mean, I grew up on Holiday Inn myself. Yeah.
Oh, well, every time I put my phone down, you guys are singing again. It's the weirdest thing.
We'll be stalking you.
I'll be hearing you when I sleep, which is a wonderful thing. We have Brandon, Patty, Tina, and John in studio from the Caroling Party. And you said there are over 30 carolers that are part of this?
We actually have almost 60 carolers 60. In the group this year.
What?
So we'll perform at about 150 events and functions between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
And as I mentioned, they still have some availability before the holidays end. You can go to thecarolingparty.com. But so many people are starting to book their Christmas parties afterwards, and I think that's an opportunity too. You know, you don't have to just, it can be, you know, holiday music or just caroling in general, because somebody's boss decided to wait till after Christmas. A lot of people in the service industry do too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you notice that? Because they have to, that's how where their money is made during the Christmas season. And how have you kind of gathered all these singers? I mean, do you, was it Craigslist? Was it?
You know, when you, the Chicago theater community and music community is actually small-ish. So we always get our best singers from referrals from other singers in the group. So say Brandon's in a show with somebody who's really great, then like he'll recommend them to the caroling party. That's right. We have Brandon's fiance in the in the group this year. She's new.
Yeah, and actually I got in the caroling party because of doing a show with Dan Ferretti.
Danny's
so a lot of word of mouth.
A lot of word of mouth. And we have really the best singers in the city of Chicago. We have the most versatile singers. So the caroling party is different from other caroling groups, because a lot of caroling groups, they'll get the Christmas carol book. You know, they'll sing Angels We Have Heard on High and Joy to the World and all the basic carols. And they'll stand there and look kind of serious. And the caroling party is a party. So we dress in really pretty dresses. The women in the group look fantastic. The guys are handsome and outgoing. And we have a repertoire of over 120 pieces of music. So we'll go from
Beautiful Joy of the World
and Oh Holy Night. And we can sing All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey. And we've got a Justin Bieber song in our group, in our book.
We
we've
do
got
have that song in our
book. Pentatonics, some songs from the Pentatonics Christmas records. So we've got a great variety of music.
There's one gentleman at one of our country clubs that we sing at every year who, when he writes his own lyrics every year, and then he hands them to us to whatever song that he wants us to sing that year. And
how much time does he give you to prep that?
He hands them to us, and then we have to sing on the spot. So I mean, that's the amazing thing about the caroling party, is where it's like, okay, great,
so you're very flexible.
We'll wing it.
It's a lot about reading the room and seeing what people want to do, and we kind of go with it.
So if they're all kind of talking and cocktailing, you're like, okay, what kind of background noise?
And then there are some tables and some rooms that just really want to sit there and be wowed.
Well, and you do wow them. I was wowed right here. I know. It's kind of cool to have our own singers. Yes, Paul.
Oh, I was gonna say, is there some sort of initiation process for like the new people? Do you like make them do stuff?
We haze people.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I didn't want to say hazing. Well,
we make them sing.
At the rehearsal, getting up and singing in a quartet in front of the entire group for the first time is kind of hazing. It's a little nerve wracking.
That's all.
Sure.
You don't make them
in front of your peers.
I
people that know.
I would say that I would rather sing in front of a million strangers than in front of 10 people that I know.
I can see that.
Same with comedy.
I did it last week. We had to run through our sets. We were doing opens and closes, and just on stage to the comics in the theater. It was brutal.
They're the harshest critics.
And it was funny, Mary Ellen Hooper went up, and I laughed. I hadn't seen her in a long time, so I laughed. She goes, oh, thank you, Patty. So much fun. The caroling party available for your the rest of the holiday season. There's some openings left. Go to thecarolingparty.com. And I love that you guys are here.
Thanks for having us.
And yeah, Brandon, you're also, by the way, when you book the caroling party, as Patty was mentioning, these are professionals in the theater, you know, world of Chicago. Brandon, you're in the production of It's a Wonderful Life.
Correct, yeah.
And who are you playing?
I get to play George Bailey.
I get to play George.
I get to try to not do a Jimmy Stewart impression.
I saw it in opening. It was amazing. Yeah. Brandon was amazing.
Heard you guys yesterday. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a great time here. That was for sure.
I do want the moon, George.
Yeah. You say the word, I'll throw a lasso around it. I'll pull it down and give it to you.
Very
Yeah, that's sweet.
Very cool. And that's at the American Blues Theater.
American Blues, yep. And we're performing at the Greenhouse Theater on 2257 North Lincoln.
Excellent. Yep. And that's obviously through the rest of the holiday season.
Yeah, we play until New Year's Eve on the 31st.
I have to bring my family out. Yeah, it's a great time.
It's irony free. It's just real in beautiful entertainment.
We can talk more when we come back. But Patty, I want to make sure I'm not missing anybody else who might be performing the rest of that's in the production right now. Anybody else? And John's like, no, I'm just filling out my calendar. Yeah.
Just taking appointments.
And Tina, you mentioned that you do teach vocal lessons.
I do. Yes, I'm a director. I teach music and theater. And I have lots of middle schoolers and elementary kids that I'm teaching right now. And we're getting ready to do a few shows. So,
yeah. Let's talk about your school, Tina.
So I have an academy in Oak Park called Ovation Academy. And we have kids that come there from ages 3.5 to 18. And we have a lot of musical theater classes, but singing, dancing, acting. We do a lot of shows and productions. We do about 8 productions a year. Mm-hmm. And the kids are fantastic. We have a great time. We work hard and we play hard.
And how can people find out about Ovation Academy?
They can go to ovationacademy.org.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And John, is there anything besides the rusty suspender? I'm kidding.
I mean, I don't want to leave you out of the camera. Rusty suspenders.
No, there's nothing more.
That's my performing name. Rusty suspenders.
Okay, that's good. That's
that
good.
Is and really good.
Developed right
rusty
here. Thank you.
I like that. Paul, do you like rusty suspenders as a radio name?
Yeah, I like it.
I do kind of love it.
You got to spell rusty weird though. So
trademark issue. Yeah, I think you might be right about that.
Sounds like an old prospector. You know, kind of.
He's messing with them. My Santa Claus impression is kind of an old prospector.
And I always do my Santa like this. Now,
do you have a favorite Christmas song, Brandon?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I've got a ton. I love Christmas songs.
We guys have a catalog of 120.
Of the songs that we do, I mean, I love singing This Christmas.
This Christmas?
Yeah, the Donny Hathaway jam.
All right.
Yeah, I like that one.
And Patty? Does it change every year? I mean, like, it depends on your mood sometimes.
Depend on my mood, but for the most part, I'm going to go with an old favorite called "Go Tell It on the Mountain."
Yeah,
we have an awesome arrangement of it in the caroling party, that's one of my favorites.
I love that. How about Tina?
I love me some Karen Carpenter.
Oh, sure.
"Merry Christmas, Darling" was always a favorite of mine.
My husband's a big fan of the Carpenters. I mean, I was I know because we were talking about how much my husband has this beautiful voice and yet does not like to sing in public. But he always tells me about how the arrangements were impeccable with the Carpenters.
Yes.
So as I was telling you off the air, I don't have a very good ear for music. So I'm trying to learn by listening, as you should.
Well, and we have a gorgeous, gorgeous arrangement of it. So,
well, maybe we'll sing it for you.
Oh, well, there we go.
Thank you to your husband.
And John, do you have a favorite?
A couple. I love "Do You Hear What I Hear?"
Yes.
And then my other favorite is sort of one that is a standard that people request all the time, which is "Oh Holy Night."
I was going to say
I love
that.
"Oh
Holy Night."
It just is a chance to just blast it, not blast it out in a negative way, but just you can sing out fully and just feel the music, and it's a beautiful way to
give
people the Christmas spirit.
Exactly. I think it also is it kind of grounds you in, right, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Is this sort of it's the, of all the songs, it's one of the more spiritual and gorgeous songs.
That's true. Yep.
Well, when we come back, more music with the Caroling Party on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio with the Caroling Party, and they've been really dazzling us with some wonderful music. And I mentioned that my husband is a big fan of the Carpenters. Here they are singing "Merry Christmas." What? Did you change your minds?
We punted. So
what happened?
We were going to sing the Christmas song.
Oh, do the Christmas song. Yeah, but you have to tell me so I know what song you're going.
Well, I think the most important the most important thing is that you all do the same song at the same time.
Yes.
I'm not an expert, but from what I understand, that's
so funny.
More important.
I love that you did that. No.
Patty, I should have just belted it out right now.
No, she was like, looking at everyone's face, I'm like, what happened? What are we not doing? Okay, so can you, Bennett, that's going to be the other thing you have to edit in the post. And no, I'm just teasing. We, here, the Caroling Party is with the Christmas song.
I think it was,
They
Know It's Christmas? is that what we guys decided,
what did
guys?
You decide on?
On three. One, two. No, I'm just kidding.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows
a turkey and some mistletoe.
Some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas
now.
Yeah, that's the caroling party. And we've had so much fun. Come on, sit down before you guys go. I want to say, be able to say goodnight to everybody. And by the way, don't forget, they are at thecarolingparty.com. They still have some availability. And, whoa, seriously.
Every
single time. I don't know how to use Facebook Live, apparently, is what's happening. Brandon is also appearing in the stage production of It's a Wonderful Life at the Greenhouse Theater.
Correct.
And that's with the American Blues Theater. Do you know the website off the top of your head?
www.americanbluestheater. That's with an ER.com.
Theatre?
Yep.
Oh, ER. Theater.
ER. Yes, ER.
They, thank God.
I know. Right. Yeah. The American way.
And Duluth.
D-Town, please.
The D-Town way. And really, thank you so much. I actually am now in the mood for Christmas. Yeah. I mean, we've had the decorations, and now it all makes more sense.
Oh, Patty, you're delightful.
Oh,
thanks
for
having us.
Thank you so much for having us. Oh, and Open Door, please, anytime you guys have something. No, not just Christmas caroling. If you have something you want to talk about, please reach out. We'd love to have you.
What you wish for, because we may just come back.
Yeah, the window there. Yeah, I don't see really well through the window, so I might just wave back. You're like, no, she said.
Just said, come on in. I don't know what happened.
I'll give you my email address.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works these days.
Do you have anyone you want to say Christmas to, Merry Christmas to, or Happy Holidays before I let you guys go?
I'll say Merry Christmas to my mom and my dad who came down to Chicago to see this concert tonight. We did a concert tonight at the Hancock Tower. And
you did?
Yeah, we came down to see that tonight.
Were you guys at the 95th floor?
Yeah. Yeah.
How cool is that? Was it the building party?
It was kind of our kickoff event that we do every year.
We sing
at the Rehab Institute.
You were mentioning at the Rehab Institute.
And then we go across the street to the Hancock and sing there. So
that's going to be a wonderful way to spend an evening looking over the lake for the holidays.
It was excellent.
It's great. And then we finish up here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I know. How the mighty have fallen. You're like, we were at the top of the John Hancock. Patty, do you want to say happy holidays?
Oh, my awesome children, Christina, Cody, and Andrew, who's in Korea right now, getting ready to leave for a two-week vacation in Bali with his girlfriend.
Oh, wonderful.
For Andrew.
Wow.
Merry Christmas, my beautiful children.
Oh, that's lovely. Tina?
I would say the same to my children. I have a daughter that's in London, and she was going to tune in. So, hello, Jasmine. Can't wait for you to come home. And my son, Justin, who lives in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't look old enough to have kids that are there.
I know.
I want to know your secret. Let's moisturize together. John, what to...
Anytime, Patty.
Beauty regimen. Yeah.
All right, John? Rusty Suspenders.
Rusty Suspenders would like to say Merry Christmas to Mom and Dad and to my beautiful wife, Jordan.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you all so much and have a great season. And we look forward to having you back.
Thanks, Patty. Thank you, WGN.
So happy to have you. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Let's take a quick break here and then the news.
Every day.
Get Chicago news first at the top of every hour.
The Chicago Conversation.
I'm Steve Bertrand in the WGN Newsroom.
News, traffic, weather, sports.
Now WGN Sports.
Never miss a story on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here with your news is Rob Martier.
Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is detailing her plans for shaping the second largest prosecutor's office in the country, including creating a gun crimes unit and revamping the team that reviews potentially wrongful convictions. She knows not everyone will always agree with her.
When I have to be aggressive in prosecutions or if I give someone a second chance, that's the nature of the job. So long as it's rooted in justice, so long as it's rooted in doing it in a way that's fair, I will be comfortable with that.
She says her office is looking at its authority to investigate police shootings and not wait for months or years while the Independent Police Review Authority completes its investigation. Several Central Illinois sheriffs say they don't agree with Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart's idea to abolish the state's cash bond system. WGN's Kim Gordon reports.
Right now, judges set bonds to ensure defendants show up for court and don't pose a danger to the community. Sheriff Tom Dart says the system isn't fair to low-level defendants who can't afford to pay, and it's dangerous when defendants with violent backgrounds are freed until trial. Officials in Sangamon and Christian County say the current system works, and smaller downstate counties can move people through the system faster. Kim Gordon, WGN News.
For the first time ever, a Japanese prime minister will visit Pearl Harbor. Shinzo Abe will join President Obama at the site later this month to commemorate 75 years since the Japanese attack. The historic meeting comes on the heels of President Obama's symbolic visit to Hiroshima earlier this year.
Prime Minister Abe tells reporters, "We must never repeat the tragedy of the war." A refrain President Obama also repeated during his historic trip to Hiroshima earlier this year.
"We must change our mindset about war itself to prevent conflict through diplomacy."
The symbolic visit between the two leaders will happen at the USS Arizona Memorial in Hawaii. Maggie Rulli, ABC News, the White House.
WGN Sports, the Blackhawks host the Coyotes tonight. Judd Sirott has your pregame at 7. The faceoff is at 7:30 with John Weideman and Troy Murray right here on your home for Blackhawks hockey, 720 WGN and WGNradio.com. In the NBA last night, Trailblazers 112, Bulls 110. Dwayne Wade led the Bulls with 34 points. Monday Night Football, Colts beat the Jets 41-10. And the Cubs have put season ticket holders on notice. There will be an average increase of 19.5% next season. The club box infield seats will go up 31%. Other seats will see a jump between 6 and 17%. I'm Rob Martier. Traffic and weather next on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We're out to holidays you.
Service to a green tea.
Hi, this is Tonya Khoury of Green Tea Services. With family and friends over for the holidays, you want your floors as clean as they can be. So we have a gift that will even make Santa jealous. Green Tea Services will come to your home before the holidays and give your carpets, tile, and hardwood floors a clean they've never seen for 50% off. Our gift to you, we'll pay 50% of your Green Tea carpet, tile, and hardwood floor cleaning. Call our Green Tea crews with the green letter T on top of our trucks.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
For details, call Green Tea Services now and get your carpet, tile, and hardwood floors deep cleaned before the holidays for 50% off. Our gift to you. And don't forget our 100% satisfaction green tea guarantee. Call 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com.
So often when I look at my children, I think about my parents. They took great care of me, and now I want the best for them. So I chose Home Care Assistance. Their balanced care method promotes healthy mind, body, and spirit with diet, exercise, social ties, mental stimulation, purpose, and calm. Trained caregivers support my mom and dad's desire to stay independent and comfortable in their own home.
For Chicago and suburbs, call Home Care Assistance for a free assessment. 847-853-7777 or visit homecareassistance.com.
WGN traffic right now still seeing delays on the Stevenson, mainly the inbound side. This is because of road work going on. Cass Avenue to County Line Road, two right lanes are closed. On the outbound side, LaGrange to 355, a right lane is down. Cass to Route 53, a right lane closed there as well. Also, the entrance from northbound Lakeshore Drive is now fully closed. On the Edens, that's clear, 15 both ways. The Kennedy is running with no major problems. Again, we have some new road work going on. Eisenhower to Jackson, two left lanes are closed. On the inbound side, a right lane down from Addison to Sacramento. Reversibles also close until 5 a.m. On the Eisenhower, on the inbound side, racing to the Kennedy Dan Ryan, three left lanes are now closed there, and the exit to the upbound Kennedy is fully closed. The Dan Ryan is looking good, 14 minutes both ways. Lakeshore Drive, we're seeing just a couple delays in the downtown area. Bishop Ford, I-57 are clear, and on the tolls, I-90, we're still seeing some delays around Mannheim as well as Elmhurst Road, and 294 slow at I-80. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center, rest of the overnight, overcast and 34. Tuesday, partly sunny with a chance of spotty rain, snow, mixed showers in the afternoon, high of 36. And Wednesday, cloudy, blustery, and occasional flurries are possible, high of 26. Thursday, partly cloudy, high of 21. 34 right now at O'Hare, 35 at Midway, and in Gurnee, 36 at the lakefront. Next news at 1:30. I'm Esmeralda Leon on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar.
Hi.
The producer's booth, we have Bennett Wakenight. And up in traffic is Esmeralda Leon. We checked in with Bennett a little bit earlier. I just want to check in with Esmeralda. She saw some celebrities over the weekend.
I did.
Did you watch the show, Chuck?
No. I was thinking, well, it was funny because I walked in, or I was about to walk in, and I had a choice from, there was Matchbox right next to this other bar, the Silver Palm. And I had a choice, and I heard the Notorious B.I.G. playing out of the Silver Palm and thought, I'm going to go in there. That sounds fun. And then the guy from Chuck walked out as well, and I went, what is going on in there?
And that's Zachary Levi? Is that his name?
Yeah. And I actually, I didn't really like that show. I watched it a couple times.
I liked that show. That was a fun show.
I didn't really enjoy it.
Well, and then one of the performers from Parks and Rec.
From Parks and Rec, which you don't know.
I don't watch that show. I've never watched that show.
Oh, that's a great show. Who did you see?
I saw Donna Meagle.
Yeah, I don't know Donna Meagle. Well, she messaged me as it was happening. I don't even know.
Because I had no one to talk to. My boyfriend had left his phone at home, and like, so we were essentially just completely missing each other and everything. I'm like, no, I don't know where he is.
She Facebooked, tell Colin to be where I am right now.
Yeah, because I'm like, where is he?
Oh,
he
saw that on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. He forgot his phone, and I didn't know what was happening.
Another comedian was like, they connected you guys.
Well,
I was like, what is this going on? Yeah. Oh, Chuck, here, I remember this show. I never watched
it. I like that show.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was a fun little spy show.
Yeah,
it was a comedy.
Basically, a guy from the Geek Squad has been, they download a chip that makes him a super spy. Like, he's incredibly talented at, like, languages and all this stupid stuff.
Linda Hamilton was on that
show. Yes, she was. She was very good in that show. So was the guy who played the bodyguard from the movie The Bodyguard with Matt Dillon, making him much older than everybody here. Just saying.
Sophia Bush was there too. She's on, I think, Chicago PD.
I know that name.
Yes.
She was also on One Tree Hill.
Oh, there you go.
If you remember that.
And she asked if she should take a selfie with them, and I was like, yes. And by the way, did you message me because my chat light was on?
Probably. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. No one's around.
Oh, Sophia Bush related to Billy Bush.
Really?
Really?
No.
Okay.
And you didn't get a selfie with Sophia Bush?
No, because I didn't want to bother. And I didn't really know her, so. You know, like, I don't follow anything
she
does.
She's pretty. I'm the same way, though. I won't take a selfie or a picture with celebrities. I'll say, oh my God, from afar, there that is. And I'll be okay.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. No, and that's what I usually do, but I had to.
Well,
with her real name is Retta from Parks and Rec.
Was she nice about it?
Oh, Retta, yeah.
Yeah. But you don't know the character name?
I didn't know the character, but yeah, she's
Donna
a comedian.
Meagle.
Yeah.
Well, then now you know it's Donna Meagle.
You know Rhett.
I don't watch the show.
No. She's a comedian.
I don't know Rhett.
I'll
all right, then. Well, and here's the thing, Bennett and Esmeralda, and those who do not want to ask a celebrity for a selfie, then you do a selfie of yourself with them in the background.
Right.
I have one of Dave Chappelle. That was the other one I didn't tell you about, Esmeralda.
Yeah,
I forgot.
But that's kind of weird.
I'm taking a selfie of myself, and look, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm not really bothering them, and I'm not taking any of their time, and they happen to be in the restaurant, and I try to, I don't use one if they look bad in it, because that's the point of that.
And I actually did take a picture of Sophia Bush like that.
Oh, see, well then,
but then I erased it because I felt weird.
Why'd you feel weird?
Because it's just like they're talking or doing something. I'm like, ooh.
Because you didn't have her permission?
You being like sneaky in the background. Like, I'm going to take a picture of you.
So you're saying I'm creepy, Bennett? Am I being creepy by doing that?
No, not creepy. I just have a different approach.
I'm taking advantage.
I think of it as nature. Just let nature be. Enjoy nature as where it is.
And when I'm hiking, I take pictures of deer and trees and... He's making the nature comparison.
Yeah, I here's what I do, and this is the best advice of all the advice that's been given thus far. You say hi, you talk to them like a human being, because they don't mind that, unless like, you know, if you don't know them that well, then obviously not. And then later, you take a picture with them in the background, and you say, hey, I just met these people. That's
how
you do it. And that's what I did when I met Judd Apatow, Paul Rudd, and Aziz at the Comedy Cellar in New York.
Okay, then.
You're welcome. I just gave you the best.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, everybody. I resolved the issue, right?
I don't know.
Thank you, Paul.
For me, it's like I'm taking a selfie and there happens to be this celebrity behind me.
It also depends, too. Like, if you're in the same field, I feel like other comedians, you probably, I don't know. Do you take pictures with, like, with Chappelle?
I should have, because I actually did have a whole conversation with him and gave him my business card.
Yeah.
But I had taken the selfie before I introduced myself. Because he seemed to be very just wanting to be low key.
Right.
We were actually sitting at the sushi bar together, just me and Dave Chappelle. It was surreal.
He was he went up last night at the Comedy Store. Chris Rock brought him up.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine just being at the Comedy Store?
Did you see the deal he just got for Netflix for like a 3 special series? I think it's like $60 million. Yeah.
He's the best.
Get it. By the way, Bennett sent me, was there a baseball player that wanted a 10-year, $400 million contract?
Yeah. Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Is there any baseball player? But 10 years is a long time to lock somebody in, to assume that there's not going to be any injuries or that is, you know, that his talent. I mean,
he's only 24.
That's why they want long.
Just saying.
No, that's why they want long deals, so that when they're like 37, that they're taken care of.
Well, yeah, $400 million. Who's not? I mean, he can be taken care of with $40 million. I'm not saying he shouldn't get whatever he's worth.
This is,
by the way, ticket prices are going up by an average of 20% at Wrigley next year.
19.5 to be precise, if we're going to be consistent with the math.
19.5, yes.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what happens when you're a World Series champion.
And are you going to buy season tickets?
Hell no. Heck no.
Heck, you can say hell no.
Okay.
Bennett, are you a Cubs fan?
I am, and I think that's totally fair. I would absolutely pay the $58 is the increased average now for a ticket or something.
Wow.
Knowing that the World Series team is going to be out on that field,
that's
potentially
true.
Most of them, then I will say I'm happy to pay that money. It's totally worth it.
The games are going to be so much different this year, too. I mean, think about it. Like, these people.
The energy. And they're still building more into both the park and around the park, right?
Oh, yeah. The atmosphere and the actual environment is going to be so different, but it's going to be so cool because it's going to be on scale with pretty much every other park in the United States.
I know. That's the thing that we keep forgetting. I mean, I've only ever been to the Royals. I don't know what the name of their park is.
In
Kansas City. I'm pretty sure that's the only, and then Comiskey, whatever it's called now, the G rate, what's it called?
Guaranteed rate
field.
G rate. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar.
Hi.
The producer's booth, we have Bennett Wakenight. And up in traffic is Esmeralda Leon. We checked in with Bennett a little bit earlier. I also wanted to check in with Esmeralda. She saw some celebrities over the weekend.
I did.
Did you watch the show, Chuck?
No. I was funny because I walked in, or I was about to walk in, and I had a choice from, there was Matchbox right next to this other bar, the Silver Palm. And I had a choice, and I heard the Notorious B.I.G. playing out of the Silver Palm and thought, I'm going to go in there. That sounds fun. And then the guy from Chuck walked out as well, and I went, what's going on in there?
And that's Zachary Levi? Is that his name?
Yeah. And I actually, I didn't really like that show. I watched it a couple times.
I liked that show. That was a fun show.
I didn't really enjoy it.
Then one of the performers from Parks and Rec.
From Parks and Rec, which you don't know.
I don't watch that show. I've never watched that show.
It's a great show. Who did you see?
I saw Donna Meagle.
Yeah, I don't know Donna Meagle. Well, she messaged me as it was happening. I don't even know.
Because I had no one to talk to. My boyfriend had left his phone at home, and like, so we were essentially just completely missing each other and everything. I'm like, no, I don't know where he is.
She Facebooked. She Facebooked. Tell Colin to be where I am right now.
Yeah, because I'm like, where is he?
Oh, I saw that on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And, he forgot his phone, and I didn't know what was happening.
Another comedian was like, they connected you guys.
Well, she
I was like, what is this going on? Yeah. Oh, Chuck, here. I remember this show. I never watched.
I like that show.
Yeah, it was all right.
It was a fun little spy show.
Yeah,
the guy, it was a comedy.
Basically, a guy from the Geek Squad has been. They download a chip that makes him a super spy. Like, he's incredibly talented at, like, languages and all this stupid stuff.
Linda Hamilton was on that
show. Yes, she was. She was very good in that show. So was the guy who played the bodyguard from the movie The Bodyguard with Matt Dillon, making me much older than everybody here. Just saying.
Sophia Bush was there, too. She's on, I think, Chicago PD?
I know that name.
Yes.
She was also on One Tree Hill.
Oh, there you go.
If you remember that.
And she asked if she should take a selfie with them, and I was like, yes. And by the way, did you message me because my chat light was on?
Probably. Yeah. I was like, I don't know. No one's around.
Oh, Sophia Bush related to Billy Bush.
Really?
Really?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
And you didn't get a selfie with Sophia Bush?
No, because I didn't want to bother. And I didn't really know her, so. You know, like, I don't follow anything
she
does.
She's pretty.
I'm the same way, though. I won't take a selfie or a picture with celebrities. I'll say, oh my God, from afar, there that is. That, and I'll be okay.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. No, and that's what I usually do, but I had to.
Well,
with her real name is Retta from Parks and Rec.
And was she nice about it?
Oh, Retta, yeah.
Yeah. But you don't know the character name?
I didn't know the character, but yeah, she's
Donna
a comedian.
Meagle.
Yeah.
Well, then now you know it's Donna Meagle.
You know Rhett.
I don't watch the show.
No. She's a comedian.
I don't know Rhett.
I'll
all right, then. Well, and here's the thing, Bennett and Esmeralda and those who do not want to ask a celebrity for a selfie, then you do a selfie of yourself with them in the background.
Right.
I have one of Dave Chappelle. That was the other one I didn't tell you about, Esmeralda.
Yeah,
I forgot.
But that's kind of weird.
I'm taking a selfie of myself. And, oh, look, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm not really bothering them and I'm not taking any of their time. And they happen to be in the restaurant. And I try not I don't use one if they look bad in it because that's the point of that.
And I actually... I did take a picture of Sophia Bush like that.
Oh, see, well then.
But then I erased it because I felt weird.
Why'd you feel weird?
Because it's just like they're talking or doing something. I'm like, ooh.
Because you didn't have her permission?
You being like sneaky in the background. Like, I'm going to take a picture of you.
So you're saying I'm creepy, Bennett? Am I being creepy by doing that?
No, not creepy. I just have a different approach.
I'm taking advantage.
I think of it as nature. Just let nature be. Enjoy nature as where it is.
And when I'm hiking, I take pictures of deer. And trees, and he's making the nature comparison.
Yeah, I here's what I do, and this is the best advice of all the advice that's been given thus far. You introduce, you say hi, you talk to them like a human being, because they don't mind that, unless you know, if you don't know them that well, then obviously not. And then later, you take a picture with them in the background, and you say, "Hey, I just met these people." That's
you
how you do it, and that's what I did when I met Judd Apatow, Paul Rudd, and Aziz. Comedy Cellar in New York.
Oh, so. Okay then.
So you're welcome. I just gave you the best.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, everybody. I resolved the issue, right?
I don't know.
Thank you, Paul.
It's like I'm taking a selfie and there happens to be the celebrity behind me.
It also depends, too. Like if you're in the same field, I feel like other comedians, you probably, I don't know. Do you take pictures with with Chappelle?
I should have because I actually did have a whole conversation with him and gave him my business card.
Yeah.
But I had taken the selfie before I introduced myself. Because he seemed to be very just wanting to be low key.
Right.
We were actually sitting at the sushi bar together, just me and Dave Chappelle. It was surreal.
He was he went up last night at the Comedy Store. Chris Rock brought him up.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine just being at the Comedy Store?
Did you see the deal he just got for Netflix for like a 3 special series? I think it's like $60 million. Yeah.
He's the best.
By the way, Bennett sent me, was there a baseball player that wanted a 10-year, $400 million contract?
Yeah.
That is
Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Is there any baseball player? But 10 years is a long time to lock somebody in, to assume that there's not going to be any injuries or that is, you know, that is talent. I mean,
he's only 24.
That's why they want long. No, that's why they want long deals so that when they're like 37, that they're taken care of.
Well, yeah, $400 million. Who's not? I mean, he can be taken care of with $40 million. I'm not saying he shouldn't get whatever he's worth. By the way, ticket prices are going up by an average of 20% at Wrigley next year.
19.5 to be precise, if we're going to be consistent with the math.
19.5, yes.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what happens when you're a World Series champion.
And are you going to buy season tickets?
Hell no. Heck no.
Heck, you can say hell no.
Okay.
Bennett, are you a Cubs fan?
I am, and I think that's totally fair. I would absolutely pay the $58 is the increased average now for a ticket or something.
Wow.
Knowing that the World Series team is going to be out on that field,
that's
potentially
true.
Most of them, mm-hmm. then I will say I'm happy to pay that money. It's totally worth it.
The games are going to be so much different this year, too. I mean, think about it. Like, all these people.
The energy. And they're still building more into the both the park and around the park, right?
Oh, yeah. The atmosphere and the actual environment is going to be so different, but it's going to be so cool because it's going to be on scale with pretty much every other park in the United States.
I know. That's the thing that we keep forgetting. I mean, I've only ever been to the Royals. I don't know what the name of their park is. I've seen...
In Kansas City.
In Kansas City. I'm pretty sure that's the only... And then Comiskey, whatever it's called now. The G-rate, what's it called?
Guaranteed rate field.
Guaranteed rate. G-rate. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at our Sox friends. I mean, you know.
There's some great stadiums. I go to a new stadium every year, and it's kind of interesting being a Cubs fan, and you go to other stadiums like, oh, wow, they have working bathrooms. Like, there's, like, little things that you take for granted.
It's not just a trough.
Yeah.
There's not a trough.
But there's, like, great – although the last few years, there's been some great things that Wrigley's done with food, but for a while, food was not – delightful.
What
there.
Do you like? I mean, there's a hot dog, and then what else are you going to get? Is it the type of hot dog? Because I love the guys that do it on top of the grilled onions. Mm. Oh, it's so good.
You got to get the works.
Mm-hmm.
Sox Park or Guaranteed Rate Park has different types of sausages and hot dogs that you can get. And one, there's this one that's supposedly the best, but I can never find it and I always get the wrong one. But,
and you can just tell by biting into it,
no,
this wasn't
people
it?
People are like, oh, that's not, you should have gone to Bobby's or whatever it's called. It's not Bobby's.
Bobby's. Do you have a favorite park? Is there one that stands out for you?
Wrigley, of course.
Well, I mean, you said you a new park every year. Oh, aside from Wrigley,
I like Dodgers. I liked Shea Stadium actually. I went to the last year before they tore it down, but I thought it was really cool. It's like a 70s theme. Dodgers Stadium is pretty nice.
Yeah. You don't sound
park
very excited
cool.
about any other park.
Twins Park was
that
cool.
was a big sigh. What else
I just
is
don't
out
remember
there?
Which other ones I've gone to. But Progressive Cleveland, when I went for Game 7, was amazing. That was mm-hmm. pretty cool.
And that's yeah. what's Cleveland is weird because it's downtown. Their parks are pretty much downtown.
They're close
they?
To things, yeah. But everything shut down really early. That
does it. You had to go out to the malls.
Yeah.
Bennett, have you been to other ballparks?
I was trying to think of it, and I'm looking at. I don't think I've ever been to any other ballpark.
See.
I've
only been to commit to
yeah,
I don't even know
Sox
G rate yeah
we'll
exactly
mm-hmm. the one that's really nice in San Francisco the Giants I can't think of the name right now but theirs was really nice
that
as
was
well.
Nice
yeah
Esmeralda we got to go to another Cubs game next year
sure you
set that
get
up
get those tickets
yes
somewhere
I will do my best well Carm's got a pretty good hookup too Carm always points me in the right direction for getting good seats
he knows how to get tickets
he really does
yeah
I don't
we
know
used
any
his
kind
method
of stuff.
To get game 7 tickets so.
That's right
yeah
he's not playing when it comes to that stuff he's very serious
Esmeralda that I think Patty from the carolers were talking about yoga and I was going to ask you did you go back to yoga
yeah
after okay.
No, I'll skip like a day. Like I didn't do it on Sunday, but I did it today. I just do it in my house. So, and it's some lady on YouTube.
I have to find out what videos you're doing. You said it's a 30-day yoga challenge.
Yeah, her name is Adrian.
Oh, see, I always work out with Aaron.
Okay,
we have our own girls.
Fine.
On YouTube.
I've never done it at home. I always just start giggling. But when I go to a place,
why are you giggling?
I don't know.
Wait,
which is fine like because funny. Then there's no one there to see you giggle.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bennett, do you do yoga?
I'm gonna be honest. I've done the same thing that Esmeralda's done. I've done yoga in my house via YouTube.
Yeah, so do I.
It's great.
They have it on demand too for if you have Comcast too.
Oh, there you go. I also do something called Fit Blender, which are workout videos, and you can do like the high intensity training, or you can do. They also have yoga, but they also target certain like upper body, leg workouts.
It makes me feel less bad because if I pay money, I feel awful because I just spent all this money and I'm not going.
Exactly.
But
and this is free, so
you can buy just like. Session like a 5-pack.
Yeah,
like
no, I won't go.
You'll go if you pay.
I'll go. No, because I've had many a gym membership, and just let it go for months at a time.
What, and there are places that are open 24 hours. I've always thought about because of my schedule. Like, should I have an X Fitness
Export? They have 24 hours on North and Wells.
Yeah, and there's one on Elston.
Oh, right.
But I just always think, like, how often are they cleaning if it's open 24 hours?
I used to be a member at the one that was because I would go late night, and it was clean.
Okay.
And it's awesome because there's not a lot of people there, so you don't have to wait for anything.
Right. It's got to be kind of almost a ghost town to go and work out at, 3 in the morning.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. I need a class. You need someone to tell me what to do.
I'll tell you what to do, Esmeralda.
The other thing.
Then let's go.
Just do video of me yelling at Esmeralda. I'm not a yeller. What did you say, Paul?
No, I was going to say that the yoga class, another reason why, and I don't know why I'm promoting it so hard, but I did go to the class and they teach you what you're doing wrong. Like, because you can't see yourself when you're doing the YouTube videos. And they'll be like, oh, and then go back to the YouTube ones. That's my advice. Again, resolving all problems here tonight.
That's why
I'm a good lawyer.
That's right. Resolve all
these
issues.
Can you also resolve the money that I need to put into these yoga classes?
Yeah, here's how you do that. They have programs called, there's a website called Groupon. And they have things that are discounted yoga. Right now I saw one that was going for $26 for like
a whole month.
Yeah, for something crazy. But it's like, it's in Fulton Square. I forgot what it's called, but I was thinking about joining it.
All right.
$26.
Who's going to join yoga with Paul Farvar?
I'll do it if you
Where
guys
is
do
that?
It. It's in Fulton Square. If you go to Groupon Goods.
Where's Fulton Square?
Fulton Square or Fulton. Maybe I'm saying the wrong thing.
Around the
West.
By West.
River West-ish.
Yeah.
So Fulton kind of by Square. Carnival? Is it
yeah.
Fulton Market?
What am I calling it? Fulton Market.
Fulton Market?
Yeah.
Yeah, why are you calling it Fulton Square? Yeah, it's far from where she lives. She's up on the north side by me. Yeah.
I'm sure there's other ones. Just go to Groupon.
All right, let's take a break and you guys can Google your yoga classes. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar. Hey, Bennett Wakenight's in the producer's booth, Esmeralda Leon, up in traffic. We were talking about late night workout joints like X-Sport, and Sue had a question about that. Hey, Sue, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good to hear from you again. Hello.
Thank you. Hey, I double dipped. No,
worries.
Thank you. For years, I lived in a little apartment and so on, and I've had gym memberships and didn't get over to the place and so on. And I've been so tempted for so many years to, and maybe you don't want to get into all this, but the Total Gym, which has for years been, advertised on infomercials by Chuck Norris and Christie Brinkley. And it looks like a really great item to me. I don't know how they can offer that for the price they do, but
right.
It folds up and you can put under the bed and the whole cardio and all that so on.
And how do you like it? Have you tried it?
Well, I don't have it.
Uh-huh.
I've wanted to purchase it for a long time, and I just wondered if any of you had any opinion or anything about it.
I'm always tempted to buy a piece of equipment that I see on late night television, like the cardio bar. There's one that's a kind of a bar, also
right.
You can do like Pilates on it and all that stuff. But I know which one you're talking about, where you kind of you said Chuck Norris and Chrissy Brinkley, where they kind of slide up and down on
that
seat
it.
And like the like a pulleys and stuff.
You can do all these tons of exercises on it, supposedly.
You know what? Yeah, and this reminds me, Sue, this reminds me, on Wednesday night, we have a guest in studio, Kevin Naughton, who I'm fairly certain, if he doesn't own it now, I know that he has owned it in the past. The Total Gym. So if you're listening, he's going to be on at 12:30 on Wednesday night, and we will ask him about the Total Gym. Sound good?
Thank you, because like I said, you want to get something legit and all that business.
Yeah, my husband had the Health Rider, and do you ever see that? Do you ever see that piece of equipment?
Yeah,
yeah,
I have.
Yeah, it's in my garage. You have an elliptical.
I have an elliptical machine, but my friends call it the Health Rider. They're like, "Oh, are you on your Health Rider right now?" Like, but I mean, I've had it for years, and it's a good backup plan when it's too cold to go outside or you don't want to go to yoga.
That's the thing. So it's not all just
garbage. Right?
It's not all just garbage.
Yes, I'll say it.
As long as you commit to it, it's worth it, Sue.
I'm trying to think. I've bought stuff. Remember the ab roller? I had the ab roller.
That's too, I wonder.
Yeah, it's fine, huh?
Thighmaster?
I never had the Thighmaster. But you can get that at any garage sale now.
There's something now where it's like you twist on a piece of paper or not.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, on that little like swivel thing.
Yeah, swivel.
How about the one where you like wear socks and you slide back and forth like a speed skater? Have you seen that? Like on a like,
no,
like
I,
a mat?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
that's like a legit workout routine, though. Like they have classes, don't they? I've seen it.
I just put Clorox wipes on my feet and just do that around the house.
Yeah, there you go.
I used to just see that anyway as a kid.
Yeah, just slide around. That's how you clean the floors. I also, you notice I do, Sue, those, yeah, exactly. I swift in my workout. Sue, what I'll do sometimes is record some of the workouts, like if they have the Zumba or any of the dancing ones.
That's the other thing, too, is right, record it.
I just record it and just do those moves over and over and over again. But I would say YouTube videos are also a good way to go. If you go to FitBlender.com. FitBlender is awesome.
Fit Blender.
Excellent. Yeah, because there's one workout for arms, and they use light weights, and I just use two filled water bottles as my weights.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm trying to get rid of the bad arms. You know what I mean?
You know what? Whatever it is genetically that does that to us, to women, I've got the same
thing.
Well,
you're in very good shape.
I still have – I've got that – I continuously am trying to work on those. I have a chin-up bar at home now, too.
You do CrossFit, too,
CrossFit, yeah.
CrossFit.
I know.
Do you know how someone, you know, how you can tell someone does CrossFit? just wait. They'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Have a great night, Sue.
Thank you. I promise
to ask Kevin about the total.
I will.
Total gym.
Listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great night, Sue. We'll talk
to you
soon.
Thank you.
And if I don't, Sue, by the way, call and remind me that I was supposed to ask. Yeah, Naughton will be on. Are you doing snapshots next week?
No, I'm in L.A.
Oh, that's right. So am I. I should probably tell him that you're
in
L.A.
I told him last week. I think I did.
I totally forgot. I'll text him during the news. We'll do that. We have a lot more stuff to talk about tonight, and I don't know that we have enough time. Let's see. We got Esmeralda and her celebrity sighting we covered. Mm-hmm. We also we talked about Bennett, and we'll learn more about Bennett throughout the week. We it won't be all the sad stuff.
Heavy. No,
I feel badly. It's like,
I'll pepper in some positive. Don't worry.
Me too. I will. We'll spice it up a little. Well, you're welcome to come hang out. Okay. Tomorrow we're doing politics with because Dave Lundy can't be here tomorrow night. So Ken Jakubowski and Eric Elk will be back tomorrow night to talk about all things politics. And I'm not quite sure what to do in a world where my president tweets.
The tweets this weekend were a little, I thought it was insane.
I
thought it was a joke. My brother and I were, he was watching. I was like, my brother is older than me and he doesn't know how Twitter works. So I explained to him because he didn't understand. He's like, wait, you can see his tweets? I'm like, yes, everybody can.
Well, he has 16.5 million followers, right? So
I follow him now.
Oh, so I've been following him since the day he announced. It's very strange. Esmeralda, have you seen some of the tweets this weekend?
Oh gosh. No, I saw those and then the ones where someone just went off on him.
Well, oh yeah, that woman that said you're an embarrassment.
I saw it live while it was happening because I was showing my brother that and I was explaining to him what was going on.
And but why it was happening?
Yeah, well.
Well, you can't explain why it's happening. But
well, the fact that he was reacting to Saturday Night Live and they were the episode was making fun of him tweeting.
Yes.
And he falls for it. And the girl that like, she just nailed it on the head. Was calling him a complete imbecile.
Yeah, there's a. By the way, I tweeted at him too, but just usually, I have questions. There's one person that's tweeting biblical quotes to him every day. Things like, "If a man say I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar." When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So some of the things that people are tweeting.
Yes. The fact that, I mean, he will read. There's a very strong likelihood that he might read your tweet.
Really?
I mean.
Well, he's got 16.5 million people. How does he feel? Do you think he does a keyword search? I mean,
he clearly sees what he puts out.
Well, tweeted him, we want him on WGN Radio on December 19th.
Okay.
That's the Monday I'm back with you. I guess it's too far out.
Yeah. We'll do it when we get closer. Yeah. I will. Right. I tweeted at him. I said, you know, because he said Alec Baldwin's impersonation was horrible. And I said, my 11-year-old nephew does a spot-on impersonation and showed a link to it. And he didn't watch it, though.
Well,
I tweeted him, too.
Did you really?
What'd you say?
Yeah, because I woke up and my hair looked like his hair.
Right? Did you take a picture and tweet
it? Yeah, and I took a picture and I tweeted it at him.
Okay, 312-981-7200. Who is tweeting at...
He just tweeted again.
Donald Trump. What did he tweet? If the press... Oh, that's from 15 hours ago, isn't it?
I know, but it's relevant to what we're talking about.
If the press would cover me accurately and honorably, I would have far less reason to tweet. Sadly, I don't know if that will ever happen. 312-981-7200. What would you like to tweet at Donald Trump? 312-981-7200. We'll tweet at him for you. If you don't want to do it, we'll do it. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar. Do you have any shows coming up? I forgot to ask. Oh, you're going to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm at Zany's in Rosemont tomorrow, and then I'm at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood on Thursday night at 10 and Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Oh, very cool. Maybe I'll try to, I'm not going to come see you. I can't, not in L.A. Going to a comedy club for comics is weird sometimes.
There are some good comics on the shows. Like, it's kind of intimidating when you're, I know Thursday.
Here's the thing. When you go to Los Angeles, being a Chicago comic, it is an advantage because everyone there is trying to showcase. They're hoping that there's some agent to see them. Whereas you've been honing your skills in front of crowds that are, well, Chicago crowds are the best crowds, audiences in the country. And for the most part, the Midwest too,
right,
are really great crowds because they're not as jaded as they are on the East Coast. And they're not as sort of almost too laid back as they are on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And also, again, because they've kind of gotten used to seeing comics who just want to get famous rather than comics who have developed material much.
Yeah, every show there at the all the clubs there, in my opinion, I've gone to some and I've performed at the Laugh Factory there before. There are certain crowds that are just their talent. They're people looking for talent for whatever their
right casting
or whatever.
Right.
But then there's also the crowds that come because they're like, oh, we want to see a celebrity.
Yes, there's that too.
And then you go on. I had to host a show there once and they're like, who are you? Like, we thought there was going to be whatever. And then this next guy came on and he did well. Everybody had a hard time that night. But the people who had TV credits, like they let them pass.
Oh, really?
All these guys that were on the show, it was a weekday show. They were trying new material. They all were. So. Right. But it was just funny how, it was just people from out of town, from North Dakota or Omaha, Nebraska, trying to see a celebrity.
Right. But it's L.A. I mean, yeah. And by the way, it is. I mean, you forget when you're there. I mean, Esmeralda, you've got to come with me sometime to Los Angeles. I think you would have.
Sure.
Blast.
I have family there. So.
Oh, let's do it. It'd be very fun because I saw Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, wow.
And I see a lot of people when I go. You'll see, you know, actors, like character actors. It's always fun to run into those guys.
Yeah, and then, it's kind of scary. You're like, I have some jokes about celebrities, and you're like, I'm always worried that they're going to be, or one of their friends is, like, I have a dark joke about a dead comedian, or dead actor, and I'm mm-hmm. always like, oh, what if his friends are in the crowd?
Oh, no.
Because they do go to the shows, especially at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, so
well,
it's kind of weird.
And you bring up an interesting point, because comedy is hard to do when you're in your head and thinking about something else, whether it's do you have to be clean, or is someone going to be offended by this? We are living in bizarre times, mm-hmm. As we were mentioning before the break. Donald Trump got very upset about the portrayal of him by Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live. But there are comedians talking about, like, especially high-profile comedians. Who, by the way, who's going to do the Associated Press show for? I mean, who wants that job?
Yeah.
Especially if he is going on these tirades, and people are retweeting him and supporting him and saying, comedians are not. Okay, so we have been hearing for the last year that what they love about him that's so refreshing is that he speaks his mind and he's not politically correct. And Mike Pence yesterday on George Stephanopoulos said it's refreshing that Donald Trump says things that are not based in fact. He said it's refreshing. But what are performers supposed to do in this new, I mean, as far as stand-up comics? I mean, they're not going to hold back for sure.
Who is he going to, that's a very good question. Like, who is he going to allow to basically mock him?
Yeah.
At the AP. Maybe Jeff Foxworthy or Carrot Top.
Ooh,
maybe?
I like. By the way, I know I have to turn my phone off. I've got Trisha from the Corn Board. Where I have to fix the website on my Facebook page. It's watchusgrow.org/corn.
Oh, okay.
So I'll fix that right now in post.
In post
as well. No, by the way, I ran into, and I don't know if I should say this, but I ran into someone who says he writes for another comedian. that you just mentioned. Okay. So, but it's weird when you find out, and I get it, right? Because at some point you generate so much material, you have to do new shows. But I forget there are a lot of comics out there that have writers for them. Like,
yeah.
when Chris Rock won his Emmy a few years ago, it was there were like 22 writers on the show, and he does a lot of his own material.
Yeah.
But do you ever want to like have someone? You would want to have someone bounce ideas off of, but you would never want someone to write your material.
I would not mind if someone wrote my material.
It wouldn't feel genuine or authentic.
I mean,
right?
I think Kevin Hart once said someone was calling him out for having writers, and he said. His argument was, look, when you start doing comedy, you have people that give you tags, that you guys are in the back,
right.
That you guys are writing together. And it's true. Like that happens all the time. I take tags from people. I give tags.
Right.
But yeah, when you get to that level, you're not able to go to those clubs anymore.
So you need a little. Bennett, would it disappoint you to find out that certain comics have a team of writers?
I don't think so.
No?
It would be, I think that I would, you know, have my heightened standards at that point then.
You'd be like,
if I knew a specific comedian had a set of writers that they were kind of all teaming up on, I'd say, all right, you know, maybe I just wanted to go and have some background laughs, but maybe now I really want to laugh my butt off.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I guess, but the other thing too is it does tighten it up too. I think you become stronger as a performer if you have, you know, that you have material that is constructed well.
Yeah, I mean, and you have, they have those, I don't know how those writers work. I don't know if they're like, here's something I wrote that's your voice or whatever.
Right.
But I bet you the older comics are like, they don't care anymore. No, but I mean, someone like Chris Rock or someone, I don't know.
Because I know Louis C.K. travels with a guy that he bounces things off of him. So does Louis Black. But when I find out that someone has written almost an entire hour special, like it's so weird to me. Like I get so ooked out. Yeah.
I definitely know that there's people that do that are up there.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
I've heard that people are like, I've kind of helped them write and stuff like that.
Yes.
So it's kind of weird.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what comics Donald Trump goes after. I mean, but he hasn't gone after any. Is it specifically because he is doing, Alec Baldwin is doing an impression of him, right? Because I haven't seen him necessarily go after like The Daily Show or any of the other, or John Oliver. Because those guys, I mean, they rip him to shreds.
But I
think
that's,
Bee.
Yeah, I think he's just trying not to acknowledge it. Because if you bring it, why give them attention?
Yeah, because I haven't seen any of the other stuff except for Saturday Night Live. Have we seen what the ratings are like for Saturday Night Live? Because it has to be helping them.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
I'm sure the one that
at least the first half hour.
During the debates, I think it was helping them.
Yeah.
I don't know about.
It's got to be. Well, and then do you kind of wonder, he has a relationship at NBC. Is he then also trying to help NBC with better ratings?
Didn't they fire him? Didn't they stop The Apprentice?
They fired him. But the producers had a lot of other tape that they never ever released.
The producers, but that's Mark Burnett.
That's right.
Not
separate
NBC.
From NBC.
Yeah, I think he has an axe to grind with NBC because they
that's
after he
true.
Said
oh, that's
the,
true because they fired him.
Yeah,
Bennett, are you getting checking to see ratings?
Saturday Night Live. This is a first quote of the sentence from EntertainmentWeekly.com. Saturday Night Live returned to its 42nd season as a rating smash, notching the long-running variety show's biggest premiere numbers in 8 years.
Yeah.
That was one during
the debate.
The last election.
Yeah.
Oh, so since Obama's first run.
Pretty much.
These are the strongest ratings they have had since then.
Well, think about it. I mean, there wasn't a lot that they can make fun of Obama for. I mean, just the way he talks. And
oh, yeah. No, this is going to be.
They didn't go after him pretty hard.
This is going to be constant. I mean, if he's going to be tweeting every Saturday night about how upset he is over. And the thing is that presidents have been completely trashed on Saturday Night Live since the beginning. Chevy Chase as Gerald Ford. He didn't even look like Gerald Ford.
It cost him the election. People say that cost
Gerald Ford
the election.
And then I can't remember anyone doing Jimmy Carter. Obviously, Reagan was
Dan Aykroyd did Jimmy Carter.
Oh, that's right.
Phil Hartman started with Ronald Reagan. Oh, they had another guy, too, that did him briefly.
Yeah, there were a couple of Reagans.
Dana Carvey did Bush Sr.
Right. And Ross Perot.
And Ross Perot,
he was great.
Yeah.
He was great. Not going to do it. Not. I don't know. I can't do it. That's the way.
Clinton
as well.
Was Daryl Hammond.
Daryl Hammond was great. Do you remember that one? There was a Bill Clinton when he comes out for a press conference after the impeachment, and then he sails through. And he walks out and he goes, next time, bring kryptonite. And he just turns around and walks away.
He had the one where he's like eating a sandwich and he just, when he was jogging and making fun of him. That one's a brilliant one.
Yeah, this is going to be Alec Baldwin's set for the next 4 years.
Well, he said he's going to stop playing him if he releases his taxes.
Yes. So there you go. I mean, I think that's fair. Right?
Do you think it'll ever happen, though.
No.
I think he's got a full-time job for the next 4 years.
I think so. And so we know where, now everyone knows where President-elect Donald Trump will be for the next 4 years on Saturday nights.
Yeah. He's watching Saturday Night.
That's so weird. I don't understand. All right. 312-981-7200. When we come back, tell me something good. 312-981-7200. What's good in your world? More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me.
You are listening pretty late, and we're heading into the home stretch. Coming up next is Nick D, and he's got his movie club at Rosemont. They're seeing 1941, which I have never seen, but I don't think I can go. I don't want to go see that movie. It's John Belushi's in it. Have you seen that movie?
I have, a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, they're showing it at the big screen at the Rosemont Movie Co.
So cool.
Yeah, and get your tickets at Fandango and Movie Co. and all those places. I am, by the way, 312-981-7200. If you want to tell us something good, anything good that's going on, you can call or text us. I had a great time in Clayton, North Carolina last week. It's near Raleigh. And we were filming the Pure Flix Comedy All-Stars, all Christian comedy. And yes, I can. By the way, for people who are concerned. And I was really thrilled to do it. I was honored to share the stage with a lot of great comics like Mary Ellen Hooper, Karen Rontowski, Louis Anderson, Sinbad was there. They had Jeff Allen. Well, Sinbad, I met him when I was 22 years old. He was on a panel on the Oprah Winfrey Show talking about stand-up comedy. It was him, D.L. Hewley, Dom Herrera, there was a lot of comics, Diane Jordan, and It was supposed to be a 1 hour episode, and Oprah was having so much fun that she stretched it out to two parter. And toward the end of the first episode, they started taking questions from the audience, and I was young and I wanted to ask a question, so I raised my hand. And whenever they would go to someone with a question, they would send the boom mic over into the audience, so you know that long pole with the microphone. And my mom and I and Dobie Maxwell were in a panel, like a bank of seats behind the comics. So I had my hand up, but I had been sitting on my foot the entire time. And I was the very last question that they were about to take. And Oprah waved me over. Instead of sending the boom mic over, she waves me over across the studio. So I go to get up, only my foot was asleep. Oh, no. And I just take a nosedive onto the set. And I get up.
Is it
and
on YouTube?
I don't know that they ever aired that part of it. They edited it out because they had so much material. But I went and asked because there were bookers in town that would say things like, I don't book women because women just aren't funny. And they didn't actually use the word woman. So I was asking the panel if in their experience that was the case. And Diane Jordan was answering the question about what she does in a show to prepare and things like that. But Sinbad, as the show was ending, he got up and came over and talked to me and was saying, look, when you perform, guys are going to look at you and women are going to be mad that their dates are looking at you. So find a way to win women over. This is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So he came walking into the dressing room. Mind you, this is a long time ago. Sinbad was like, you're the girl that fell down.
No way.
That's
awesome.
I was like, what? Yeah, it was insane.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he was unbelievably kind and generous, funny. He had to tape five half-hour episodes of the show because you do three comics. There were 15 of us. So you do one half hour and you keep the same audience. So that audience was there for about 7 hours watching this because the taping, it's like stop and go, stop and go. Is that right? I don't know if they were. No, they weren't there that long. They came in at 6 and we finished. No, 5 hours. And he would have to do wardrobe changes, come out, do all new material. He was unbelievable. He was a rock star. So that's my something good. It was so much fun.
He might be one of Donald Trump's people, someone from back then who was like
he was in The Apprentice. I didn't ask about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
He said that he did say that it was all for show.
What?
The Donald Trump stuff was, he said he's not racist. So
I buy that.
That was what Sinbad told me. Just that time. Do you have something good to tell us, Paul?
I'm excited to go to LA, get in some warm weather, and do some shows out at the Laugh Factory Hollywood out there.
It's excellent.
Gonna be Thursday, Saturday, and Monday. It's on my website, paulfcomedy.com.
paulfcomedy.com.
.org. .biz. I just wanted all of them.
Yeah, you got to own them all. Bennett, you got something good to tell us?
I just realized my birthday is next week.
Oh, you know what? I thought it was last week because Cochran already wished you a happy birthday, so I'm very sorry. You're out of the rotation.
Mary said, you know, it was a rough day today. We had a guest got shifted around, and Cochran missed your birthday by a week and a half. So, you know.
Well, she was confused because she's like, I'm in charge of all the birthdays. I know when these things happen. Yes, she's not playing.
That's not something that slips by Mary.
Well, now your birthday is so close to Christmas. Has that ever caused some issues as far as like doubling on the presents?
It's the perfect amount. It's the perfect distance. It's 9 days. It's on the 16th.
Oh, fair.
So there's enough time where, you know, it's kind of shallowed down by the time family members aren't coming in yet. There's nothing to really overcast on anything. There's still a ton of snow outside. You get to enjoy it, but, you know.
People aren't smushing your gifts into here's your Christmas / birthday present.
Two totally separate sets.
See, that works out very well.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. Well, do you have any plans yet for your birthday?
Well, no. I just literally just remembered that it's next week.
I don't keep track of my birthdays either.
It just creeps up.
Yeah, it does. Paul, when's your birthday, Paul?
February 17th. Same day as Michael Jordan. No big deal.
Okay.
And Paris Hilton, but whatever.
Wow, who knows those kinds of things? I think I share a birthday with like Madonna.
That's a good one.
It's either Madonna or Sean Penn or both. I can't remember. Their birthdays are very close.
Those are both good ones, but it's probably not both of them.
I think it is. I think they have the same birthday.
Really?
I think so.
Oh,
I could be wrong.
Cool.
Esmeralda, do you want to tell us something good?
Wednesday is week 2. I'm taking voiceover classes.
Oh,
oh wow.
You had asked me about Yenny Alvarez. I know you sent me a message, and it was funny because when I talked to her and she was here, I was like, oh my God, Esmeralda asked me about voiceover advice. And are you fluent in Spanish?
Yes.
And that's a big market. And I know that she can. No, it's a really big market. I think that if you can also, once you get through the training that you're doing, that'll be helpful as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
But I don't know. It's funny because the reason I was like, I don't know what to ask her is I've asked her before and it was kind of like, oh, yeah, good luck with that. but I think maybe she was in the middle of something else. I don't know why.
I've heard it's very tough, but I was like, I should probably learn something.
Absolutely. And there are agents
thinking like, yeah, no, I can just read stuff. Whatever.
I know. Well, I think I told you this story when I shot an episode of Chicago Fire and the casting director from that had seen me when I was younger and gave me copy, kind of like the live copy that we read on the air. And she gave me a little bit of the script and I started reading it and she took it out of my hand and told me I didn't know how to read. So,
oh boy.
That happened to me. What?
That's mean.
But I know, but it was she just knows what she likes.
What they do, though.
But my point, yes,
casting directors,
exactly. They just get to the point. My point being that that was when I was much younger. I've since then been able to break through that and apparently improve enough to get cast on an episode.
So you can read now?
Yes, I can read now. I could say things.
I had a bad experience in casting.
What happened? What happened? Well, this is supposed to be something good, but tell me something bad.
Well, it's still funny. It was a learning experience. I don't have an agent, so when they sent me out, they told me the person who told me about the part I was reading for the wrong part.
Oh.
So when I go in, they're like, you know what you're doing? I'm like, yeah, this is Harry for this. They're like, oh, no, that's not, you're doing this one. And I'm like, oh. They're like, we'll give you a few minutes to get acquainted with the script. And it's just a paragraph. Like, are you ready? And I was like, yeah, I'm ready. They're like, here, we'll even just keep it in front of you. I'm like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
So I did not get that part.
Yeah, I was just reading a whole list of things that you should never do. Bennett, have you ever auditioned for something?
No, I have not. I'm pretty early on in my career. So,
do you have any interest in doing?
I do.
Yeah, there you go. Find out where. Do you want to do voiceover on camera? All that? Yes.
Everything.
Well, there's some really good
Renaissance men.
You should be. Everyone should be